You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Hey. Hey. Is that old dog Trey? That sounds like old dog Trey to me.
Pardon?
You know, Stephen Foster. Oh, Susanna. Camptown Races. Stephen Stinkin' Foster.
Yes, well, this happens to be a nocturne.
Which?
You know, Frederick fucking Chopin.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
Your $5 ass down before I make change.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think with fly, think.
You dirt-eating piece of slime. You scum-sucking pig. You son of a motherless goat.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
You're killing me, Smalls.
That guy in a little coat.
You stuck up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Whoa, all right, here we go, guys. Welcome to episode 185 of Cinema Crespediso. I am your host, Chris Crespo. How is it going? Thank you for downloading. We appreciate it. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, ChrisCrespo.com. If this is your first time listening to Cinema Crespediso, it's a movie show. We talk about movies and other things, entertainment, as well as whatever else comes up, whatever we think about, because it's our show. And you know what? We're going to limit ourselves. My right co-host, cohort, Drew Cogburn. Drew!
What up, dude?
How you doing?
How you doing?
We're doing the show. You feeling good?
Yeah.
You feel good or you feel dropper?
I'm feeling.
You feeling?
How about that?
Returning guest. Third time here. Super excited to have her back. Local writer. Writer extraordinary. USAtoday.com. Where else are we writing? All sorts of websites.
All sorts of websites. I'm all over the place.
You can just go to AmyDrewThompson.com to see all the articles compiled together. It's a wonderful resource, ladies and gentlemen. Returning guest, the notorious ADT is here.
Woo-hoo.
How you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm decidedly less neutral than Drew. I'm stoked.
Boom. Happy to be here. I like it. Your second appearance of the year.
That's right.
You were here January.
That's right.
Was the last time. You helped kick off the year.
And the debut was Halloween, which is like a joy. I should shut up because I'm ready to start talking about that now.
We'll jump right into it. Let's start talking about movies. We got a decent amount to talk about. We got movies to review. You saw some movies. Drew and I saw a movie, a bit popular movie this weekend. So the first half, we got plenty to do, plenty to speak on. So might as well go ahead and get it started with Netflix is the pick of the week, which means I gotta see. I never had that ready. I gotta go here, pull this.
Rubbing my hands together for this one.
And here we go.
All right.
We got what you see. Movies on fleek. Netflix is the pick of the week. Netflix is the pick of the week. Netflix is the pick of the week.
All right. Amy, use the Crespediso Randomizer 9000. Juicer Cogburn's giving us a thumbs up. He says we're good to go. You can go to ChrisCrespo.com to check the past Netflix instant picks of the week. If I am not too lazy to update the website, which I did this week, I apologize, people, but I'm sure I'll put up both this week. Amy, Let everyone know, what are we watching?
We are watching Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh, you got the one with the little drawing.
I did. It's a very interesting little drawing.
They're eyeballs.
Sure they are.
It's a pup. Those are puppy eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, they're puppy eyes.
So yeah.
Yep.
I'm disappointed. And there's the face. It's okay. We're all grown-ups here, and I'm a Cronenberg fan. I don't mind boobs. Doodle boobs.
It's a puppy.
Yeah, it's cute.
It's a pug.
I should have worn my Venetian masquerade mask.
Yeah, those masks are creepy.
They are cool. I have one.
What a creepy movie.
And Eyes Wide Shut. I call it my Eyes Wide Shut mask.
that's what you gotta call it. Let people know.
No offense to Venice.
I love this movie. Kubrick, his final film.
Being all weird. Being even weirder than normal.
Kubrick?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, because he indulges in weird movies. That's his thing since the 60s. That's what he's been doing. And he went out of a bang with this one. He was only like 58 when he made it, too. Heart attack.
Before it was finished.
Very shortly before it premiered, I think. Right. Like, he had just finished it. And knowing him, who knows? He might have tinkered with it a little bit more. Like, right up until the day before it came out, he was crazy like that. And it's a bummer. Who knows what else he would have done, you know, after this one.
True.
Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, they were together at the time. Their second, third movie.
And
together.
You could really see the hot chemistry between them. Not.
Yeah, it was weird. They had a weird thing going on. A coldness that suits Kubrick's work because he's a cold director.
I would say that. Maybe that's why he picked them.
Yeah.
Because clearly they were not into each other.
He saw it and he was like, I can work with this. This loose madness. New York City set story. The whole thing shot in Pinewood Studios in England. So you can tell every time Tom Cruise walk around the street, it's like, oh, that's a set. The whole thing is it's crazy. But they recreated New York City on the sets. Down to, like, Kubrick sent people to New York City with cameras, and they took pictures of intersections, and then they went back to England and then recreated whole sections of New York, which is... Just go to New York, guys.
Yeah, it's lots of good work for the designers, though.
Yeah, right? I guess someone's getting work. The English production designers got... And also, speaking of getting work, a 400-plus day shoot over a year.
Oh, wow.
Movies take like 2 months to shoot, typically. Sometimes three months. You know, yeah, if they're expensive. Three, maybe four if you're Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Four... What's that?
Well, that's it. It's the artiste factor.
That's a ridiculous... Like, I'm taking a month film this reaction shot of Tom Cruise. I'm like, huh? And then I'm going to cut it from the final edit.
That's not the artiste thing. That is Stanley Kubrick being on the crazy side of genius.
The crazy side. The side that no one else can understand, which is why his movies are like Stanley Kubrick movies all the way up there, right?
It's artiste spelled with double E's.
it's super pretentious artiste is what he is. He's crazy. He was a crazy director, but very meticulous, very exacting, and it's a fascinating movie about Tom Cruise's descent into the dark underbelly of, like, the sex world in New York City. He meets a prostitute and that goes wrong, and then he gets into that sex party. Fidelio is the password, and it's like a mess, and it's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't. The only time that I ever saw a movie where he was believably sexual, I think, was Risky Business.
Sure, and that was young.
Yeah,
long time ago.
Yeah.
Since then, he hasn't really turned on to sexuality. Since then,
no.
And then
he's so short.
He's already very short.
That's what it is.
It's not because he's short.
Doesn't help. It doesn't help. That he's short.
It makes it difficult.
What is he, 5'7"?
In movies.
Almost every actor is short. I have a friend who's a working actor. He's over 6 feet tall. And he always says to me, when the casting director says to me, how old are you again? He's like, that's when I know I don't get the job.
Oh, man.
Because I'm going to be too big next to whoever they've already cast.
Yeah, exactly. And that is true. Like, Sylvester Stallone's 5'8". A lot of people are under 6 feet tall in Hollywood. But they all have big heads. Literally big heads.
They do. Yes,
literally and figuratively.
I think it just looks good on film.
Yes, I agree. Oh, my God. I've got confirmation. I've seen a couple of famous models in person.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Cindy Crawford in person. And I've seen Paulina Poroskova in person.
Mm-hmm.
They're both gorgeous, predictably. Sure. Both very tall.
Yeah.
They both have heads the size of watermelons.
That's crazy.
Really?
Yes. They're beautiful. It does not detract from them being gorgeous at all.
That's amazing.
Huge heads. They have huge heads. That's amazing. And so I've always said, I think that's why. You remember those old Estee Lauder ads of Paulina that was like hollow face?
Yeah.
I think that the giant head makes for beautiful photography.
It just fits in the frame better, having the big head. Proportions to the body.
So you're the first person who's ever corroborated this theory for me.
Independent corroboration, right there.
Yes.
Great minds think alike. That's why. It's big head, small bodies make for great movies.
And I'm short with a giant head. So There you go.
So you should be in Hollywood. What's going on?
It's true.
I'm big with an average size head. The back of my head's flat. I don't know. I'm not getting any. I'm not getting any hat modeling gigs. I'll tell you. That's for
you're
sure.
Not getting anything. I could be a head model.
George was a hand model. Walking around with oven mitts on.
I could be. No, see, I got little scars, a little nicks here, and this finger's a little crooked from my hands being jammed over the years.
My hands are destroyed.
Oh yeah, you're a cook. You cut off the tips of your fingers for fun.
Well, not for fun, but on a regular basis.
On a regular basis, not for fun. Not for fun. No. Kind of tips off into the bacon. Oh no, that was my brother. All right, eyes wide shut. Stanley Kubrick, fantastic. You got see, it's a puppy. Look at the big puppy eyes.
It's a puppy.
Big, huge, double D puppy eyes.
I'll take a picture of that and put it on the Instagram so people can see what I'm talking about. You can go to Instagram, Cinema Crespediso on Instagram. You'll see what we're talking about if I remember. Let's get into the box office recap, Drew. Where are we starting our top five?
Surprisingly enough, at number five.
All right.
Ice Age colon collision course.
The Ice Age colon.
Yes, it has a collision course with the Ice Age colon.
That's not good.
We can gross $21 million.
From the reviews I've read, a lot of people are being like, the Ice Age people finally seems like they've run out of ideas.
Oh, it is.
I guess that when I saw that they were making another one.
It is sitting constant at a
fifth one?
13%.
13% Rotten okay. What's the average rating, though?
Ooh, hang on.
That's the question. That's the question. Because it's going to be like 5 out of 10, which means it's like, it's okay.
Yeah. 3.9.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good.
How could... I mean, they really did keep it alive pretty decently for...
When did they make that first one? Like, early 2000s?
It was,
15 years ago, when Ray Romano was still popular and on TV. That's right. When they freaking started making these movies.
Yeah.
Good investment, Ray.
For them, yeah.
Yeah.
At this point, he's like, are you guys making another Ice Age movie? I'm there, man.
I hope you saved that Raymond money.
Yeah, exactly. You better have. Well, you hear about how the guy who created Everyone Loves Raymond... Everybody knows what I mean. He was hired to create a Russian version of the show for Russian TV. And there's a documentary that I've been meaning to watch. I don't even think it's on Netflix anymore. About him going to Russia.
It doesn't work.
And it doesn't work. Like, they don't get the humor. It's not translating at all. And it's, like, just a terrible Russian version of the show. And he's in hell. He's in his own personal hell the whole time. And it's like a real documentary. Doesn't that sound amazing?
That does sound fun.
I don't know why I haven't watched it, and I'm pretty sure it's not on Netflix anymore. Oh. It's probably called, like, Everybody Loves Riskies or something. I forgot what it's called. You know what? I'll be honest. I've seen maybe it's and bits of the Ice Age movies on TV.
I've seen all of them, but not this one.
So, am I right? There's five of them?
There's the first one, which was based on the John Wayne movie.
Okay.
There's the second one where... What happens in the second one? Is that the one with the...
That's the one where they go out of Africa.
That's
a Madagascar movie.
Yes. No, I'm just thinking. There's the one with Simon Pegg. I think that was the third one.
Okay.
Or is that the second one?
Simon Pegg pops up in a lot of threes.
No, that's the second one.
Okay.
Okay, that's the second one. That's where they go below and they find like all this tropical stuff.
Okay.
Down there. And then the third
one... Under the ice, they find the tropics.
The third... Ooh. Maybe this is the fourth one. Because the third one, I think then their daughter is now a teenager.
Okay.
I guess whatever. Three. She's like, which is apparently 16 in mammoth years.
So it's the parent, the parenting one.
Right.
I got a teenage kid one.
Right. Exactly.
And then this one is the world's ending. Sort
I
of.
Guess.
Well, the end of the Ice Age.
This one I haven't seen. But I was impressed that they were able. Oh, there was. Ooh, there was one. Yeah, that was the one. Yeah. That's the one where they went to sea. And there was like a baboon captain.
Right.
Yeah.
That was the last one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't. It's impressive that they keep cranking them out.
Yeah.
I bet you they make a decent amount of money. Like
Dennis Leary gets a love interest. J-Lo was Dennis Leary's interest.
Really?
Love interest. Yeah, she plays a saber-toothed tigress.
Even voice-wise, I don't believe that.
Nope.
Even just putting those voices together, Dennis Leary and J-Lo talking.
It's true. I don't believe that.
You're dead right.
Yeah,
it totally doesn't work.
Nobody can be Dennis Leary's love interest. Dennis Leary doesn't love anything.
Yeah, first off, he has no love in his heart.
Exactly.
Second, yeah.
I believed him on cigarettes years ago.
Yeah.
Years
Go
ago.
Go figure.
Yeah. All right, so people, it seems like maybe you shouldn't go see the new one because it's not reviewed very well. Unless you're a Nice Age completist, in which case, see it. That was number five.
Yep.
What's number four?
Lights Out.
Lights Out.
Made $21 million.
It's a horror film. $21 million. I bet you it didn't cost
budget
much.
Budget of 4.9.
There you go.
Movies are where it's at.
They are so cheap.
They are where it's at.
To make cheap horror movies, Chris. That's where. I'm so in on that.
Even if then, want, we just go in.
We make a baker's dozen, and then we fucking do something big.
And I don't even care if they're terrible because there's a market
that's the
for
point.
That too.
They're always terrible
because the reviews for this one have not been good. Check out the reviews.
Actually, certified fresh.
At what percent?
77.
Okay, what's the rating?
6.4.
6.6. It's awesome. So it's okay. So it's doing okay.
Movies, man.
It seemed like a decent idea. Have you seen any of the trailers for Lights Out?
I saw one trailer for Lights Out, I believe. But I tend to look at... I don't see enough of them. I'm a big horror movie fan. Yeah. But I don't see enough of them. So I tend to want to see them all anyway.
Sure, sure. I am not too into horror films, so it has to be like really good for me to be like, oh, I'm excited.
Paranormal thing, I know I've told you this before. This astounds me that people still go to see that. That's astounding
and
to
they
me.
And they crank them out. Conjuring 2 did pretty well. They're making the Ouija prequel movie because apparently that made enough money. And, you know, like we're saying,
they're cheap enough.
$2-4 million to make these
movies. You don't need any known actors for a horror movie. No.
It's a place where a lot of like up and coming actors go,
exactly.
Or old established like character actors.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, it's that guy.
Because I could end up being an iconic villain. I could milk this for years. Exactly. I could go to the horror conventions.
Get the autographs, $200 for my autograph and picture.
Yeah. Oh my
God. Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous how they get away with that stuff too. There is a horror movie coming out at the end of August that looks interesting. What's it called? Don't Breathe?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's some kids break into a house to rob it, but it's Stephen Lang, the guy who's like the colonel in Avatar, and he's been around forever. He's a blind guy living in the house, but he's like super competent, and he catches the kids, and he's chasing around his house, and he locks them inside, and it's like, oh no, what are we going to do? And then he turns out the lights, he's like, oh no, now you're in my world, or something like that. The trailer looks like it gives away too much anyway. But it
looks good.
So looking forward to it, looks good. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Stephen Lang beating the shit out of those kids.
Yeah, Stephen Lang, that guy's just a good
actor. There's always a lesson in these horror movies. Don't rob people.
They are
horror. Don't rape people.
Horror film
it's
is.
It's bad, it's good that juju's coming back.
Uh-huh. They are all about the moral lessons in horror films.
Well,
more than
it's
any
like,
other genre.
It's like, if you do this, you will die.
You'll be horribly maimed in terrible
That's
ways
right.
for your yes. sins.
Stay a virgin.
You would think Christians would, or Christian churches would, like, embrace the horror films more.
I'm sure the Hellfire and Brimstone ones do.
Yeah, sure. You're going to hell.
Yeah,
you see
exactly.
what kind of hell
yeah.
it's watching.
Yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream
yeah.
Warriors,
yes.
and see what kind of hell you're looking at. What does Dream have to do with heaven? I don't know. So that was that's Lights Out.
Yes.
All right. Good for Lights Out. Maybe we'll see it on like the DVD or something. Then what's number three?
Number three, Ghostbusters.
There we go.
Woo-hoo. Weekend gross 21.6, total 86.8.
That's okay. It's looking like it might get to 125 domestic, which is at a budget of like 140 million.
There'll already be a sequel.
Oh, for sure. They talk about wanting to make many, many sequels. I think maybe with this one being a pretty good movie, I think more people will be willing to see sequels. Drew and I reviewed this last week, but Amy, you saw this film.
I saw it yesterday.
What'd you think of it?
Well, let me just back you up and say, when I first heard that they were rebooting it, mm-hmm. I didn't even have an issue with the women thing. As a rule, I tend to hate reboots.
Sure.
Because most of them suck and are mm-hmm. just disappointing. Mm-hmm. And I wish that people would just give new ideas a chance.
Yes.
But they're afraid.
Agreed.
So I was very down on the idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it.
It's a good movie.
I liked it.
It's fun, right?
It totally was fun.
Yeah.
It was totally fun. And I loved, you know, that, you know, there were a lot of fun kind of quips paid to jerks on the internet who are haters.
Yeah, a couple times.
And,
yeah, yeah.
And
comments on the internet.
Yeah, and I enjoyed the cameos and
right. Yeah, yeah.
And it was funny. It was funny by itself, and I think all four of the ladies did a great job. I thought they were all very funny.
Absolutely. I think it was genuinely a good movie, mm-hmm. and I'm looking forward to a sequel.
It turned into this weird dark action movie at the end.
My kids loved it.
I still can't wrap my head around that.
It's always interesting. I'm always interested with the younger generation.
Yes, 8
feel.
And well, they know I took. When what was it, the 30th anniversary, and it was in the theaters, they re-released it.
I took
my girls to see that.
Okay. And did they, were they like, this is fun?
They loved the original.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we've watched it and everything else. So like my older one was having fun going, oh, that's, you know,
oh, picking things up. Oh, sure,
seeing
sure.
all the
okay.
people she recognized. I was impressed that she recognized half of them because they're so much older.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Yeah, 30 years.
She's
now.
So sad she didn't recognize Bill Murray.
Oh, Bill.
It was so sad.
He is of all them. Well, Dan Aykroyd is like Ross said last week, they had to put him in a car and drive him in and off the set.
He's like 500 pounds.
Yeah, he's a big old vodka swilling lardo now.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, he is huge. But yeah, Bill Murray looks like he's aged.
I know, but he's the best. I love him.
He's the best. And his cameo is my favorite.
Yeah, well, that's what they gave him the most because he's the best.
He's the best. And the whole ghost skeptic thing, that was fun. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's an enjoyable movie. And people...
I liked it. I liked that it was a little bit scarier.
Yeah.
The ghosts were a little scarier.
A little intense. Yeah. A little more intense. Like that opening scene was pretty intense.
And I needed to go at a certain time, so I went to 3D, which I don't generally do.
Oh, but yeah. But so, because of the schedule, you were stuck.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I was like, well, I want to go at this time, so I'll go to the 3D one. And I liked it.
I read, actually, that they did some interesting things with the 3D. They did the thing, which most movies don't even bother doing. With the black bars on the top of the bottom, like they actually put in black bars on the screen you wouldn't normally see them in a theater to give it the widescreen look, so then elements could like go over the black bar and it looks like it's coming more out of the frame, like it's busting out.
Yes, yes. These visual tricks that they
That you would only see in the 3D actually, which is and that's actually an extra step that most people don't even bother doing because it's more work and more money.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's cool. Excellent. Well, there you go. We all agree. Ghostbusters is where it's at. People should be checking it out.
Yeah, there was discussion of possible Halloween costumes. So you know the kids liked it.
Absolutely. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I'll do it too.
The brown jumpsuit. Yeah. And little stripes.
I'll do the whole thing up.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. I'll make proton packs.
That's the way it was in the 80s. Yeah, the proton pack with the hose.
Yeah.
And then, but now you can also come up with like that weird ghost gun punching thing.
Oh, no,
thing
you can't grab candy with that on your hand, bro.
Well, yeah, you got the other hand. You hang the bag on that.
That's a con element. That's for going to a con. Oh, yeah. That's not for trick or treating.
Not for Halloween.
No.
Not for gathering the sweets.
No, you gotta have hands free. That's a hands free activity.
Hands free candy gathering.
Yes.
Everyone check out Ghostbusters. It's a good movie. We all agree. That was number three. What was number two then?
Secret Life of Pets.
Okay.
And we can gross 29.3.
Cute movie.
Total of 260.
Still making money. 260 might make it to 300, which is pretty impressive. Who did this? I think it's Illumination. It was the same people that the Despicable Me movies.
Right.
They did those, and they also did. They may have also done Cloudy with a Chance of... No, that was Sony.
I love Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
That's a great movie.
Oh my God, Lord Miller!
That movie is so funny.
It's so fantastic.
I still do...
My favorite...
or his... it's like super agent music or whatever.
And everything Mr. T in that movie is gold.
My fantastic. Favorite part is when the monkey is fighting the gummy bear on the wing of the plane. He rips out the gummy bear's heart.
And he holds it.
And holds it out. And the gummy bear's like, oh!
And it's Neil Patrick Harris, too, the whole time, doing the monkey noises.
Is that true? That's great. Yeah. I love that.
They howled at NPH.
Oh,
look,
he's throwing chocolate. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Oh, good, the snowball fight. Oh, my God.
Yes. That movie's hilarious.
That's a fantastic movie. But you saw Secret Life of Pets.
I did.
And what'd you think of this one?
It was super cute.
Yeah?
It was super cute, yes.
But was it super cute? Like, it's totally worth taking the family out to go see it? Or is that like a DVD type of
thing? Based on the stuff that I've heard, if you give me the names of like the couple of previous summer movies that came out for children, what was the last one?
Finding Dory.
Finding Dory.
Right, which I didn't see. My kids saw that one. I didn't see it.
The BFG came out as well.
That's a family movie.
Jungle Book.
That was in April.
I'm hearing much more good stuff about this one. And I really enjoyed it. Okay. I really enjoyed it. There were ones that I skipped. The characters were funny. Mm-hmm. Remind me of the man who plays the rabbit.
Kevin Hart.
Oh, so funny.
Seals the show.
So funny.
That's what we've been hearing.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, it was definitely ensemble. Also, the girl who played Gidget, who I don't know. Oh, they didn't, you know, they always do so many, you know, it's always Kristen Schaal and Kristen Wiig.
And they
didn't do that this time. They went with, you know, like other people.
Is it, I forgot. Who
plays Max? Do we know?
I don't know. Just some random dude.
You know, but it's always like, you know, homeboy who's Flynn Rider in Disney. It's like that guy. somebody who could sing, or Bill Hader.
Bill Hader clearly would have changed.
Exactly.
He does great voice work.
He does. Yeah. But so there were a lot of names that were new for me, for somebody who watches a lot of cartoons.
Okay, sure. The new actors get in onto the voice acting game.
Yeah, which is good. Yeah, which is good.
I gotta spread it out. God can't always be Morgan Freeman.
Everybody can't sound like Putty.
He should be.
He's in everything.
Yeah, Patrick Warburton.
Yes. So awesome.
He is in everything.
Oh, yeah. Man. He's in Venture Brothers.
Have you seen
He's great in Venture Brothers. But he's in the video games, too. In Skylanders.
Because he has such a distinct voice.
He's got that voice.
Exactly. It's like H. John Benjamin. Is in everything. And he doesn't even change his voice. That's the best part. As Archer, and in Dr. Katz, and in Bob's Burgers, he's just the same.
There are these people who, no matter what they do, it's just, we're hiring you for your voice.
He's not even trying.
Just speak like you. Read these lines.
And all the animated characters that guy plays are like regular looking dudes. And you look a picture of that guy, he is really strange.
He did that show, John Benjamin Has a Vam.
Yes.
For a while.
Weird.
Which was weird, but really funny. Yeah, it didn't last.
He's a
Nobody
funny
wants
guy.
To look at him. They just want to
no,
listen to
exactly.
him.
Exactly.
Comedy Central's good at giving comedians a chance to come up with a really weird show, but then they will axe it so fast.
Oh, yeah.
They're like three eps and you are
he's
done.
He's funny as hell and great in all the cartoons that he's in.
Yeah, and it's...
He was in Home Movies. You remember Home Movies?
I do remember Home Movies.
That's a great when he played the coach, Brennan, the soccer coach.
Brennan Small's show before he did Metalocalypse.
Right. That clock. Coach McGurk.
Yeah.
He was great in that, too.
That's Adult Swim stuff. That's crazy stuff. So then you would recommend Secret Life of Pets, it sounded like.
I would definitely check it out. Especially for people with kids. Absolutely.
Ross was on last week. He said he liked it, too. He took his kids. They all seemed to enjoy it. He was dinging it a little bit for being a Toy Story riff. Another movie about, what happens when the humans aren't around. And, then there was pets, and now... But you were like, no, you're fine.
I'm such a dog person.
Oh, that'll help.
So I enjoyed the doggy stuff and the pet owner stuff that you see in there.
Sure.
Funny, quirky things that your animals do. And the way pet owners love their animals no matter what they do. I so relate to that. So if you have kids and if you are a dog or a pet lover, because there's some cats in there too.
Sure.
Yes.
It's definitely, when I saw the first trailer, I was
dog
like,
lovers,
this is
gonna, pet lovers, people who really love their pets,
we're pet owners.
We're a weird bunch.
Yeah.
We love our animals.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
They gently made fun of that.
A weirdo pet owner. You should see the things he does with his cat, the way they
That's a cute cat. Very friendly.
Very too friendly.
She can be. She can also
too friendly.
Fucking talks so much.
She's a noisy cat.
Very noisy cat. Very pretty. I like not being a pet owner, but being pet owner adjacent. So I get to hang out with my mom's dog a little bit and play around with it.
Right.
And then like,
I've seen pictures of your mom's dog.
Yeah, she's so cute. And then the dog pooed everywhere. I gotta go, mom.
Yeah.
Have fun.
It's like people with babies.
Yeah. I'll take this back.
I want to feed the baby. Now you can have it back.
Now you can have it back when the food comes out the other end.
Right.
I set it up for you. You can knock them down. That's how that works. Number two, Secret Life of Pets. Amy says go see it. What's the number one movie,
Run,
Drew?
Don't walk.
Number one, Star Trek Beyond.
Star Trek Beyond, number one.
Weekend gross, $59.6
million. Okay.
Seems total.
Not bad opening weekend at all, I think, for a late July movie. Star Trek, maybe it should come out earlier in the summer.
New Star Trek show coming out soon.
That's right, on CBS, I believe. New crew and everything.
Oh, but I think you have to subscribe or something the first time, right? Whoa. Wasn't there some subscription-based deal going on?
Really?
With that?
Yeah, no,
I have
thank
to look
you.
That up.
No, thank you, CBS. Unfortunately, you don't have to subscribe to anything to go see Star Trek Beyond.
That's true.
We just went and saw it. I'm not even that much of a Star Trek fan. I think the movies are whatever, and the TV shows never got into them.
Okay.
The new movies are okay. I like the 2009 one much more than I like the most recent one with Benedict Cumberbatch. The Star Trek Into Darkness. Yeah, the whole Khan thing, that was a bunch
yes,
of BS.
Yes, agreed. The debut, the reboot.
Yes, yeah.
I am so bad today.
Yeah, be careful. Watch the thing. The
reboot.
People don't like that song.
That was another one where I will say, I went because I was a Star Trek fan. I am a Star Trek fan
okay.
of the show.
Okay.
Love the original, love the Next Generation. Watch Deep Space Nine.
Uh-huh.
Was very skeptical, but had to go.
Sure.
Chris Pine nails Kirk.
He's good.
I'm
not the biggest Chris Pine fan.
I'm
I think
not,
he's fine in these.
He nails just the movement.
Yeah.
The way he moves.
The swagger
of
being a captain.
It's identical to Shatner. I remember in the end being so delighted watching him hop into the captain's chair, and it could have been William Shatner.
Yeah. He's probably you probably watched a bunch of like, old stuff. But, I'm just going to copy this guy.
But to be able to nail it, so he did a great job. Well, but yes, I agree with you. First of the reboot was better than the second.
And I feel like, for me, Star Trek Beyond is the best of the three new ones. What do you think, Drew? Where'd you rank this? Yeah, but did you the other one more? Actually, I noticed halfway, I felt like you were getting pretty restless watching the
movie. Dude, I was so insanely bored by this movie.
I could feel Drew's restlessness watching it.
The plot didn't matter. Mm. The entire movie didn't matter.
Well, it felt very episodic.
Nothing.
It felt like a Star Trek episode.
Nothing in this movie mattered. And in all reality, nothing fucking happened either.
That's the way they've been making Star Trek since the 60s. None of the movies matter. The movies, every movie, the status quo was set by beginning to end.
Well, that's TV in general. It has to go back to the way everybody expects it to be at the end.
For the next installment in order to continue. Right. They even make a joke about it in the movie at one point.
I get it, but how many times are they going to destroy the Enterprise? This is the third movie. I'm pretty sure this is the fourth Enterprise we've gotten.
Did they destroy the Enterprise in the 2009 one?
I'm pretty sure...
It definitely got destroyed in the last one. This is the second movie
when,
in a row.
When Homeboy came in.
When
Eric Bana came in, I'm pretty sure they destroyed the Enterprise.
So in all three of the new Star Trek movies, the Enterprise gets destroyed in various ways.
Yes. Okay. So this is the fourth Enterprise in three movies.
The contractors are getting massive amounts of work.
I just want to know. It's definitely it's a military industrial complex.
Maybe
type
this
of
is what they
scheme.
Do. They're racking it up so they can get more military spending.
Creating demand.
Have you noticed also every time it's the most advanced starship in the fleet?
Well, it's the Enterprise.
I'm just saying.
This is just one of those things you have to buy into.
Yeah, it's a flagship, bro.
I'm getting really sick of this.
Drew's had enough.
Yeah, I really have. The third one, I was looking for... the first one was good.
Okay.
I was looking for them to do something more with the second one, and they took a step back.
The second one for me was just, you know, that whole scene on when Spock and Uhura are, you know, jamming it down, that thing's going like a million miles an hour, and they're not even remotely looking like they need to hang on to anything. They're like surfing it like it's a hoverboard in Back to the Future.
You want to talk about surfing it? The Enterprise straight up surfs a giant barrel wave of alien ships in space.
Yeah, that was in this movie. That was pretty cool.
So would you say they depended on CGI a little in this movie?
With the space battles.
I'm just taking a stab at this since I haven't seen it, but basically
it looked like some of the alien work was practical effects in the beginning.
There's all these
like makeup.
Yeah, some nice makeup.
There's a decent amount of production design.
As the story progressed, and what they were doing with the villain, obviously, I don't want to give anything away, but what they were doing with him, they seemed to stray from the practical effects more and more as the movie went on.
Yeah, sure. Sure, because they got more involved in what they were trying to do.
I don't mind if the story's awesome.
The story's not awesome.
Yeah, that's what I'm
It is episodic. It didn't bother me as much. I thought it was fine. I was like, okay, this is an okay story enough that they set something up. At least, at the very least, I gotta say.
They're almost always disappointing. They just are. I'll still never forget. You could write it on my tombstone. Why did you do that Clash of the Titans? Why?
That was the worst.
The worst.
I will say that for at the very least, this movie has a beginning, a middle, and an end. It really doesn't. It's not. Besides for a weird time travel thing that they use to give a shout out to Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
Which is still kind of annoying. It doesn't make any sense.
That's you think he would say there, that? He'd be like, come on.
It's dumb. But
car commercial.
But at the very least, this movie has a beginning, middle, and end where it's not contingent on you seeing any previous movies and it's not setting up future movies.
I would have
Probably double featured it with my kids yesterday if I had thought.
What, to set up a future, another Star Trek?
No, I would have taken them. I just thought, I'm not going to take them to see it because they're going to not know who anyone is.
It doesn't matter. It's the...
I love it. Theme of the movie from Drew is it just nothing matters.
None of it matters and it doesn't... Nothing happened and it doesn't matter because none of it matters anyway.
Nothing happens.
It's definitely you got to like the characters. You got to like Kirk. You got to like Spock. You got to like Bones.
You have to like them a lot.
I love those three. I think they do a good job. The rest of them are a little bit... kind of cartoony. But I guess the originals were kind of cartoony too.
I think so. It's all a bunch of big characters, big archetypes, which I think they're whatever. I thought the movie was fine. It's an acceptable summer blockbuster film. a lot of effects, jokes. It's got the jokes. It's it never stops being light. And it's got, since Justin Lin directed it, he directed like five of those Fast and Furious movies. Mm-hmm. There is a shot where like a space vehicle flies by really fast, and then he cuts a little Asian kid like looking at it, yeah. Which is a shot straight out of Fast and Furious, like one yeah. of them.
That's funny.
But this time, the little Asian kid, he's green. He's got green skin and pointy ears because the little alien Asian green kid. But still,
Crasian.
He's a Crasian. It's I thought the movie was fine enough. I think if you like Star Trek, if you're into this kind of stuff, you'll appreciate it. But Drew apparently doesn't.
You gotta
think
go.
It's even
well, if you're
worth
a Star
it.
Trek fan, you gotta go.
Well, like, I think
if you're a Star Trek fan, you'll probably like it even less.
You think so?
Because it doesn't ring true to anything Star Trek. I mean, there's
what is the normal
there's no
internet
development
say? As opposed to the angry it says, internet that hates everything.
I think it's well reviewed from critics.
The internet says Star Trek Beyond continues the franchise's post-reboot hot streak with an epic sci-fi adventure that honors the series' sci-fi roots without skimping on the blockbuster action.
That was
a mouthful.
That's neutral to positive.
Yeah. Well, that's the sense that's out.
Yeah, well, see, I'm more neutral than negative.
Right.
Andrew's like, wah.
I'm looking for something else out of these movies. They have these franchises. Of all the movies, the Star Trek franchise has the ability to be something so much more.
Uh-huh.
And they just give me an action space movie. I mean, they could have named this anything. It doesn't even have to be a Star Trek movie. It could have been Joe Schmo in space.
Could have been
this could have been the
Unstoppable
next,
in space.
This could have been the next Buckaroo space Banzai novel. Movie. I mean,
ooh,
come on.
A new Buckaroo Banzai would be pretty awesome.
I'm just saying.
I'd be down with a new Buckaroo Banzai movie. All right, well, there you go, people. I thought it was all right. Drew was like, no.
I think they phoned it in.
I'm going to go. But I don't know.
Well, you gotta go make up your own opinion
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I'm gonna go, but I don't know.
Because apparently we're not helping.
I'll enjoy Chris Pine, if nothing else.
I think he's fine. Yeah, he's good. He's a Kirk. He's a total Kirk.
I do like his Kirk.
And they're talking about making a fourth one. They already have.
They're only talking about it?
Well, yeah, they haven't greenlit it yet officially, Paramount. J.J. Abrams at Comic-Con was just talking a bit about it. In promoting Star Trek Beyond, it's like, we have a story idea for the fourth one that involves time travel, so we could get James T. Kirk's father back into the mix, because we had the foresight to cast Chris Hemsworth as James Kirk's dad in that 2009 movie. Now James Hemsworth is a big fucking movie star all these years
Chris
later.
Hemsworth.
I keep saying James Hemsworth because of James Kirk. Chris Hemsworth's a big movie star now, so we're going to bring...
Ghostbusters.
We're going to make Thor, and he's great in Ghostbusters.
He was so dumb in that movie.
So
his
dumb
character
so
was literally dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I get it.
Oh my god, it's so loud. I have to cover my eyes.
Yeah, that was a bit much.
That was great.
It was totally funny the first time he rubbed them and there were no lenses, but like the second time I was like, I saw it the first time.
Yeah, he kept going back to that. Well, yeah. I thought that was great. He was a funny character. So yeah, they have an idea for a fourth one. We'll see if they make it. Maybe Drew, they'll achieve what that lofty Star Trek goal you're looking for.
It'll be just as bland as action packed as the last one.
Yeah, probably, most likely. All right, well, there we go. That was your box office recap for the week.
Did you tell everybody last week to stay through the credits at Ghostbusters?
No, because I don't even stay through the credits. When I find out that there's a scene, I go online and I search, you know, Ghostbusters after credit scene, and
I'm
I just so read
old.
About it.
I stayed.
You stayed?
Yeah, I'm old.
I left. It's but I know they're setting up Zool.
Yeah, that was fun.
For hopefully the next movie, which would then make Ghostbusters, their Ghostbusters 2, would then be sort of a remake. Even more a remake of the 84.
That's my go-to line with my kids. When they're mommy, 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 I always go, there is no mommy, only Zool.
No mommy, only
Zool. I always say that.
You're not supposed to say something like that to your kids.
Now they understand it, though, because they've seen the movie and they're like, hey.
That's true. That's funny. New movies come out on DVD this week. We got Barbershop, The Next Cut, which is the Barbershop Beauty Shop mashup movie. The Barbershop universe.
That was a great song.
Cinematic universe is in full effect there.
Just the thought of that movie, like, it hurts my head.
Wow, Drew, this guy.
I'm going to laugh at that for
Well, Drew's going to really want to see this one. The Boss, Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Bell. What, Drew, you don't want to see that one? That one came out also on DVD. Criminal came out with Kevin Costner. Gary Oldman, all the old guys.
I almost want to see that movie because Gal Gadot's in that too, and so is
who else?
Gal Gadot, the once
Wonder Woman.
Future Wonder Woman.
Oh yeah.
But the trailer is so bland, so boring.
I know. It's Kevin Costner always was very vanilla to me.
But I just rewatched Open Range yesterday, and he was so good at that. And he was like shooting people. And he's like,
I'm a Gary Oldman fan.
I'm not shooting bars.
Who isn't a Gary Oldman fan? Gary Oldman, I mean, he's the only white person who has ever played a believable Jamaican.
Yeah.
That's like 100%
God,
believable.
That movie's
like,
so awesome. Don't go see the new movie. Just go see that.
Just okay? Go watch just True Romance.
Yeah. The first time I saw True Romance was the first time I saw Gary Oldman, so I thought he was a white Jamaican.
Like, what's up with this?
And then I saw
Jamaican.
Him in another movie, and I was like, what the fuck?
And it was like Hamlet.
Yeah, no, exactly.
where the fuck is white Jamaican at?
I understand.
He's good. Hardcore Henry comes out this weekend.
That movie was fun.
It is a weird movie.
If you don't mind motion sickness, watch it. It's
or if you don't get motion sickness. If you don't mind motion sickness.
I was
mind.
Intrigued by that trailer, but I'm getting a yay and a meh.
Yeah, I thought it was
I mean, it has a thing. It's first person. It's
got
like,
a took. It
it's like Doom.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like playing Doom.
But infinitely better
than
the Doom movie, at least.
It's better than the Doom movie.
You know,
not better than playing
you're
Doom.
Laugh
no.
At me.
I would so
and seriously,
Doom.
And if you like Charlton Copley, you will love Hardcore Henry.
Charlton
steals
him.
That fucking movie.
He's the only reason I think to
I
watch
love
now.
Him.
He's
See, that just.
He's fantastic.
You watch it for him just for Copley?
I would watch it just for him.
I would too.
I love him.
Especially. Yeah, no.
He's fun.
He's awesome in that movie.
He's fun in it.
District 9. Ugh.
And
even the A-Team. He was like great in the A-Team.
I thought so too. He was the best part of the A-Team. He's the best part of a lot of shitty movies, apparently.
He was the best part of the A-Team.
And also this movie has fake Jennifer Lawrence, which I still can't get over. Whatever this girl's name is. Like Haley Bennett or something.
Oh yeah, the girl that looks just like her.
Fake Jennifer Lawrence. Fake J-Law. It's really weird. Even in Magnificent Seven, where she's a redhead.
Yeah.
I'm still like, what did J-Law do?
Well, no. Now she looks like the chick from...
Bryce Dallas Howard?
Yes.
And Jessica Chastain?
Yes. She looks like... She gets
I love how you know exactly who he's talking
it's
about.
Really, she does look like him, though.
No, it's really weird. This girl, like, depending
she's
on...
She's
she changes
girl.
Her
he's
hair color, and she,
like
and she becomes another boom. Actress. It's weird.
Well, yeah, Jessica Chastain and Bryce Dallas Howard already kind of look alike.
Yeah.
She changes her hair color red. Looks
and
like
Bryce Dallas Howard, good in The Village.
Yeah.
Very good in The Village. So is Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's always good.
Adrian Brody. Yeah, I don't know so much about that guy.
He's so good, everybody believed his nonsense on that talk show. That's how good he is.
Yeah.
John Hurt or William Hurt?
William Hurt.
William Hurt.
William Hurt, yeah.
I always
Bill Paxton
Hurt.
Or Bill Pullman?
Exactly. Those two, damn it.
Names.
Paxton and Pullman.
It's more of an issue of names rather than faces.
Yeah.
There it goes. That's Urgent's come out on DVD. What's coming on theaters, Drew?
In theaters, we've got that awful Nerve movie. That.
Oh, I saw the trailer for that yesterday.
Which gives away everything.
The first half of the trailer, I was intrigued.
Is that like the game? It's like the game.
It's like the game,
but
for teenagers.
It's the game for millennials.
Yes.
Exactly.
You know, you guys are millennials, and you know the game. Whatever comes after
Fincher.
You guys.
We're barely millennials.
But it's not Fincher, so it's not going to be anywhere near as dark.
It's not Fincher. The trailer looks like it gives away. If the movie is 90 minutes long, the trailer tells you what happens in minute 85.
Yeah.
So, if you want to see how the movie ends, then I'd see the movie. Otherwise, just see the trailer.
That's true. You do see that whole Mad Max thing that's going on at the end of the trailer. Yeah, what's up with that?
And then, like choose your weapon. It's like, well, just show me who shoots who, and then we'll get out of here. And then we'll call it a day.
We're done. Now it's a short.
From being interesting to being a waste of time. Thank you very much, Marketing Department. What else is coming out, Drew?
You guys are on fire today.
Bad Moms.
Bad Moms.
Be continuing in these bad whatever series.
Apparently it's a series. Bad Santa.
Bad Santa, we've got the Bad Grandpa.
Bad Teacher.
Bad Santa bad teacher. 2 bad is coming out.
I know. Apparently.
I saw the and I thought of you because I remember
really?
Doing the Christmas bit.
Oh, that's right.
And
you were like,
what's your favorite? And I was like, and one of my go-tos was Bad Santa.
Great. Bad Santa's a great movie.
It is.
I don't know. The comedy sequels are rough.
They are.
I don't know if we need a Bad Santa 2.
I don't. We don't need most 2s.
That's true. No, we don't.
We really don't. That's why it's number 2.
We really, really don't.
Really don't need them.
So, not going to win. At least it's a watchable movie. It'll be fun. But Bad Moms, yeah, I don't know, the continuance of the Bad series. Yeah. The Bad Nouns.
Bad Nouns. Yep. Next, we're going to have Bad Dads.
Bad Dads. Bad
Moms.
Bad Babies.
Bad
Kids.
Wasn't that old
bad
school?
Cats.
Wasn't old school Bad Dads?
That's what it was. They're Bad Dads. Hangover 2, they're also Bad Dads. Yeah. Pretty much most movies are
Bad Dads.
Yeah. That's like, where's the white entertainment? Television. It's like it's all movies about dads because it's made by dads for dads. Fucking bunch of idiots. Any of those come out in theaters?
Matt Damon.
I mean
Jason Bourne.
You know his name, Matt Damon.
Yeah. The first time I saw that post, it was just a picture of Matt Damon. It says, you know his name. I'm like, Matt Damon?
Actually,
it's right there. See? You know his name. I'm like, Matt Damon?
Yeah, Jason
the Matt
Bourne.
Damon movie's coming out. Awesome. He is. Matt
I'm
Damon.
So distracted. I don't even know what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the plate.
So here's.
I see the Terminator. I see what looks like Cindy Brady.
Next to the vent where Jason Bourne is in the shadows.
You know his name.
Oh, yeah, you know his name.
It's Matt Damon. His name's Matt Damon.
That was our tagline for it. You know his name, it's Matt Damon.
How do you like them apples?
Yeah. How do you like them apples, Jason Bourne? Good Will Hunting 2. Well, another two we don't need. We're going to do the Jason Bourne movie. The fifth in the Jason Bourne movie, but the fourth involving the Jason Bourne character. Mm-hmm. Because they made that one with Jeremy Renner.
Yep.
Where we're like, we're going to do a whole new series with you, Jeremy Renner.
No, we're not.
And then we're like, no, we changed our mind. This was a bad idea. This was not a good idea. It does come out. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Well, that means it's time for Dr. Drew's Two Cents. Is the doctor in? I hope so, because here we go. Yeah, I hope he's ready. Is he ready? Is the doctor ready? He does not look ready. The doctor shrugging. The doctor is... he's Google searching frantically right now.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
The doctor is in. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris. Be careful for what you wish for. Oh. Be careful what you wish for, buddy. Because you might get it. Doctor's out.
Whoa! So deep, yet so hollow. Be careful what you wish for.
Because you just might get it.
I don't know why I just scribbled a line. I didn't even write anything down. I pretended to write something down like we were on TV.
What? I was going to say, why did you even pretend?
Yeah.
There's no point in even pretending. You could just been like, okay.
Be careful what you
He's
wish.
Still just drawing circles and squares.
He's making more puppies,
Stick
I bet.
People.
More large-eyed puppies.
It's a very sick-looking puppy. It's a damaged puppy. Guys, it's like a break. Crespo Disco time.
Weren't there some wrestlers used to call boobs puppies? I think I distinctly remember there
Jerry,
was something.
Jerry Lawler.
The puppies.
Yes. Release the puppies or something?
I think so.
I hated
something
that
about
shit.
Oh,
that's
man.
Terrible.
It was terrible.
As a hormone crazy 17, 18 year old.
Yeah, like, don't call him that. That's not sexy.
Yeah, even I think that. This is
well, no,
so
I think it was the
dumb.
Fact that it was Jerry Lawler saying it, because just him saying anything is not sexy.
And just, I don't know, the idea of, it was just so stupid. I'm switching to WCW. At least they just call them dancers and let them do their thing. Treat them like Laker girls, a little better than them, like, put them in the middle of the ring and show us your tits. Anyway, so stupid. Why did we bring up? Why are you?
You said puppies.
We're just talking about puppies.
We're talking about puppies.
Puppy boobs? Puppies don't have boobs. You weirdo.
Actually, yes, they do.
Let's take a break. Crespo Disco time. I got a song from the Star Trek Beyond soundtrack. The main theme song is by Michael Giacchino, who's a great composer, does a lot of good stuff. Recommend you check out his work and enjoy the song. We'll be back with the second half of the show with Drew and Amy. Are you guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Drew and Amy, Amy, Drew. You see how that works?
Yeah. Isn't that fun?
It's fun. Fun times, guys. Very good time.
What's up, it's your boy Stone the Terrible, aka your girl topped me off, y'all start kissing right after I dropped her off, forget that yo radio. For all your movie news and reviews, check out Cinema Crespediso. Let's get it.
It's your 100th show, Cinema Crespediso, and we want you and Drew to know, we really, 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 really dig it. It's your 100th show, Cinema Crespediso, and we want you and Drew to know we really dig it. Oh, you, oh, and you and Drew get aroused by previews, and now both of you, oh, we smell like popcorn. It's your 100th show, Cinema Crespediso. And to the movies we go, primarily because you pick them.
There you go.
Thank you. Hey,
that was awesome. Yeah.
Thank you, Curtis. That was fantastic.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
All right, guys, we are back. 185 is underway. I'm hanging out with Drew, Amy, and Amy Drew, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
How's it going? Just hanging out, man. Just doing my thing. How about you?
It's great.
Plugs. Drew. Internets. Go.
Antihero 419. All over them.
All over them. All over those internets.
All over
the covering internets. The internets with the Antihero 419. Mm-hmm. On Twitter, at Antihero 419, tweet Drew your favorite RoboCop GIFs.
I would actually enjoy
it. You would enjoy that. So tweet him. Just have people tweet you anything over the last few weeks?
No, not a thing.
Those are kind of listeners. We have I ask them to do stuff,
and they don't.
They're like, "Fuck you! Give us the free entertainment, you talking monkey, and shut the fuck up."
Keep talking monkey.
Keep talking monkey, and then shut the fuck up. That's our listeners right there. That's how they feel about us. That's the projection you're giving us anyway, people. Amy, where can people find you online?
At AmyDrewThompson.com. I'm thinking about changing that, though.
To what? TheNotoriousADT.com?
That's right. I love that. I'm so straight gangsta. It's not even funny. That was the best thing ever. I'm going to Instagram that shot immediately.
As you should.
Yes. AmyDroo. Phonetic spelling for Twitter and Instagram. And full name, Amy Drew Thompson. AmyDrewThompson.
People, check it out. Follow her. Check out the articles. Anything you've written lately you can think of?
I'm all over the place.
What was the last top 10 you've written?
I think barbecue.
Top 10 barbecue joints.
We hit up some, let me think. I'm trying to think of the ones. Harry and Larry's. Mm-hmm. And what's the one that I'm... Pig Floyd's.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Four Rivers, of course.
What would be... of all the research you did, which one stands out? Like, if I'm going to barbecue, I want to go to this
you
one.
You know, I love Pig Floyd's, but... And I love their barbecue, but the plantains there are so good.
Oh, really?
There's a little Latin infusion going on over there.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and if you're, you know, if you happen to be barbecuing with somebody who doesn't do meat.
True.
Man, those plantains are good.
Oh, it's true. But so. They just soak them in meat, some sort of meat sauce.
They might, right? But I don't
know. They always do.
Soak them in pork
fat. Yeah, pork fat. They cook them in pork fat.
Is that why they're so good?
It's gotta be.
I love that place.
And if they're not fried in pig fat, I'm going to specifically ask them to.
You can walk across the street and go over to Black Rooster.
That's true.
Get a vegan taco.
That's true. That place is new, right?
Yeah, that place is pretty new. Yeah. Or you can go up the street to Taco China.
That one's been around.
Oh my gosh, so good.
They're opening another. Alessandro, they're opening another taco place here over here on 1792. What's it called, Drew?
Chewy's.
They're opening a Chewy's over here in 1792. And I'll
Chewy's
just,
is a chain.
I believe
Chewy's.
So.
Yeah. Chewy's is decent for a chain.
Right up here from the Zona Fresca that they just opened up, which is right around the corner from this other place that they're opening right next to the movie theater. I'm just telling Drew, thank God there's finally a place in Orlando where I can get a taco. Finally.
Yeah, because gringos and... Because
there are no tacos anywhere in Orlando. There are tacos everywhere in Orlando!
Right. I was just going to say, there's also no Vietnamese food here either.
I know. Of course not. I can't find pho. Thank God there's that pho place up through, because I can't find pho fucking anywhere.
There's one really on the corner.
It's on the corner.
For a second, I was confused. I was like, wait, what?
There are tacos everywhere. Tijuana Flats, Adobe Gila's.
Falling off the trucks around here.
Goddamn Taco Bell's. Yeah. And your even Qdoba closed up. They're like, there are too many goddamn tacos around here, man. Anyway. Go get some tacos, people.
It's true.
Hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. Hit up the show at Crespediso, Cinema Crespediso on Facebook and Instagram. Email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. It's that simple. Right?
It is.
Right. Yeah, guys. Uh-huh. Email. Email's fun. All right, guys. It's before we get started with Billy D's Death of the Movies, our New York City senior correspondent, I wanted to talk about some of the Comic-Con trailers that they put out lately. Real quick. Comic-Con's the last couple of days out there in San Diego. So obviously they unleashed a lot of trailers for geeky type stuff. There's a Wonder Woman trailer that they put online that's about 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes long.
Gangster as fuck.
It looks really good. It looks really good. It's a World War One movie, but looking like it's flashbacks to, you know, Wonder Woman's her past, whatever. So there's like some fantasy elements in there as well. It looks good. Looks like a pretty
Your boy Chris Pine.
Chris Pine's in it, playing Wonder Woman's boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. He's not my boy, but I like him as Kirk.
Well, yeah, there you go. Kirk's in it as Wonder Woman. It's Wonder Woman and Kirk together again at last and for once and for all. I don't think. Because it's not like Chris Pine's going to be. He's not in any of the other movies.
I was going to say, he's from World War One.
Yeah, he's a human.
He dies.
He dies at some point.
He dies of old age eventually.
If not in the war, he dies of old age eventually. And Wonder Woman's sad again. He's like, oh, I loved a man, and now I had sex with him to death because I'm Wonder Woman. And he was just a
man. I'm sure that's the way he wanted to go anyway.
I mean, death by snooze-snooze.
Yeah,
exactly.
He did give snooze-snooze.
That happens.
The mind is willing, but the body is weak and so feeble.
He's the best. He needs his own movie.
Wonder Woman looks good. I'm very intrigued by it. And also the poster is really good, too. Recommend people check it out. It's very colorful. Very cool.
Some trivia. When I tried out for that pop culture competition show,
yes,
my team's name was Brannigan's Law.
Really?
Yes.
That's weird trivia.
Yeah.
I don't know when that'll ever come up in
it
a
won't.
Beer night trivia
it
night
won't.
Or something.
It won't.
Curtis Earth or Simon Time trivia. You never know. Curtis Earth might
It's a great be. Team name. I wish we won.
They put out a Justice League trailer that shows a little bit of Batman hanging out with Aquaman. Actually recruiting Aquaman and the Flash.
You mean Bruce Wayne going around being all smug, being like, hey, you talk to fish.
Yeah.
You're fast.
He's like, oh, well, you figure out, it's a little, so you're fast. Yeah, he's being kind of smug about it. Mm-hmm. He's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
He's a smug asshole. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think it looks good. I think already the trailer they put out for Justice League looks better than all the marketing for the Batman vs. Superman fiasco. Because that was not a good movie.
I had zero interest in that from the get-go.
And you know what? There's nothing about it. It's like, no, Amy, check it out. Trust me.
No, there isn't.
Don't waste your life.
I mean, skip it. Maybe Justice League is looking a little more fun and interesting.
At least for the
Wonder Woman
looks
great. I want to
see Jason Momoa.
He looks good.
With white contacts?
Green, white contacts.
Yeah.
There's this one shot in that Justice League trailer of him. Good. He's all shirtless and he's standing on a rock. It's a wide shot. And you just see his back and then huge waves are crashing onto him. And he's just standing there like...
The waves don't knock him over.
Yeah, they don't knock him over.
He's Aquaman, of course.
Because he's Aquaman. So obviously with the shot, they must have like harnessed him down and then CGI'd out the harness or something.
Because
those are big waves.
I was about to say, they probably put him in front of... One wave that was
real,
decently sized,
right.
And then CGI giant US? CG wave.
Maybe.
CG water these days, you know how good that shit is.
CG water is
off the chain these days.
Yeah, CG water.
I know all those kaiju movies are the best. I know. Because they all come wading out of the ocean like it's a puddle.
And then, and then the water's dripping off them.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks like a pretty good, it's a pretty damn good shot. And all the Flash stuff looks like fun because he's playing like kind of a weird, like twitchy. Loner type
friends,
thing. He needs friends, you know, and I like Ezra Miller. We need to talk about Kevin. I like that guy. He's all right, so I think it's interesting. Speaking of Batman, there's a new Lego Batman trailer.
Oh, so good.
That looks hysterical.
It does. It's on par for Lego Batman to maybe be the second best Batman on film.
Possibly, I think so. Will Arnett's fantastic. Ray Fiennes is Alfred.
He's a good smug.
Yes.
Lego Batman.
He's super smug.
He's the best kind of smug.
So smug. The perfect smug level.
It's true.
And then meanwhile, for Robin, for a wide-eyed, sparkly-caped Robin, they got Michael Cera. He's like, hey, secret camera. He's like, oh, Batman. He's like,
he's geeking out. He's fanboy.
He's so fanboy and then so sweet and innocent.
He's so good at that. I bet you he's a total douche in person.
In that movie, this is the end.
And that's how good an actor he is. He's nothing like.
He's nowhere near that sweet. He's such a
guys
asshole.
That he play, you know, like the guy from Juno. Yeah, he's nowhere near anything like that.
He's closer to a Scott Pilgrim character where he's kind of a selfish dick.
I mean,
kind of. Scott Pilgrim was a selfish.
I like imagining him that way because I want him to be like the greatest actor of his generation.
True. Yeah, but except for just being himself all the time, which is like a super sweet guy that everyone likes from the kid from Arrested Development.
Right.
But he's perfect for his voice is perfect for Robin in this, especially the Robin that they're going for.
I do like him.
And you only got to see him. He didn't really say anything, but Zach Galifianakis as the Joker is fantastic. That's gonna be a lot of fun.
That sounds great.
Yeah, right? I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a fun movie.
Is the Joker going to be high for like the whole time?
I know, right?
Probably.
I hope so. It'll be good. I'm looking forward to that. That's February 2017. They also put out a trailer for the King Arthur movie, Guy Ritchie's King Arthur movie, where it's like raised in the streets.
Oh my God, is Jason Statham going to play King Arthur?
That would be awesome, but no.
He'd probably be Lancelot.
I was just going to say that would be great.
It wasn't even a trailer. It'd be awesome if he does cameo. Charlie Hunnam. Charlie Hunnam? Uh-huh. The guy from Pacific Rim and what's the show? Sands of Anarchy. He's King Arthur, but with a total modern like douche hipster haircut. Like he's got it's like the long hair on top, but the shaved on the side. It's such a modern haircut. It's so weird. Yeah. It's really off-putting. Like, why is your hair? And then the trailer just looks like.
What are you doing there?
It looks like a Guy Ritchie movie, but you know, it looks like if Guy Ritchie's making a Guy Ritchie movie, but it's also Game of Thrones meets 300.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for sure.
Meets Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
100%. Or maybe you go with Sherlock Holmes because it's more old-timey, you know.
I just want to see, Victorian, you know, Arthur and Guinevere talking, you know, like nil by mouth.
Yeah.
Like, real Cockney.
Yeah. Slang. Some Cockney slang. Yeah. I'm like, I have a butcher. Like, what is he saying? This doesn't make any sense. It looks ridiculous. I don't know.
There's a culture gap here, and I don't understand.
The Kong Skull Island trailer. The prequel to the original King Kong.
You mean Apocalypse Now with monsters?
Okay, so I'm watching this trailer, right? Drew and I are watching this trailer. And as the trailer starts, immediately I'm like...
Everything's sodium yellow.
Oh, shit.
Old school fucking Vietnam helicopters. It's seriously, it's like all they need is a fucking classic rock showcase and it's fucking... Yeah.
Doors.
Seriously, all they need is some doors and it is... Freaking Apocalypse Now
just
with monsters.
I was thinking just from the way the framing of the shot, the lighting, Samuel Jackson's in the movie. Everything about it, the way it shot, I was like, this looks like Apocalypse Now. And then Drew was like, this looks like Apocalypse Now. I was like, I was just thinking that. You just took the words out of my brain. How'd you get out of my brain? Yeah. Demon monster.
You guys should get married already.
Man partners.
Kevin called it non-sexual hetero life partners is what Kevin called it.
Okay.
But does it even matter if you're hetero if it's non-sexual?
If it's non-sexual, it doesn't matter.
You don't even need to add that.
But Kevin, though, his was all like really doing like cooking dinner for each other. Like, let me like massage your feet and stuff. I'm like, Kevin, that's too much, bro.
No, we do not massage each other's feet. We do cook dinner for each other, though. We do. We take turns.
I cook dinner for me. It's just easier to cook for two. Okay.
Lest anybody think there's anything even remotely not
on the up. I don't know. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I cooked dinner for me.
The reason
I just make enough so that he can have it.
In that Seinfeld episode when they're talking about Jerry and George like them being accused of being gay. They're like, we don't want people to think we're gay. But then they kept throwing not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
The writers they threw that in. They're like, we need to say this in this episode as many times as possible.
No, there's anything wrong with that.
It worked because we're all still talking about it like 100 years later.
Yeah, it did work too. That's true. It became a memorable. It started as them covering their ass. It became a memorable joke.
Right now. It's an ism.
Drew, we're doing Jurassic Park versus the year. Take two. Drew, we're doing Jurassic Park versus the world. This year, you are 11-6.
Okay.
You won a nail biter last week against Ross. Yeah.
Which surprised me because he knows a lot about Pokemon.
He knows a lot about Pokemon. It was a Pokemon related game.
So glad I wasn't in that.
It was an interesting game. It was fun. Amy, even though this is your third time here, you've only played Drew once because the first time.
Though.
You won.
I did.
You played Steve Etchie the first time when he sent out his co host. Shout out to Steve Etchie.
Yes.
Earlier this year, you beat Drew 0-1, Drew, you are against Amy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And actually, at the time, that made you 1-1. That started you on your your battle against 500-year-old.
I'm relaxed now because I beat him once. So exactly. If I lose, I'm good. I don't feel like a total chump.
I gave her a false sense of confidence.
Yes.
You did.
That's what Drew does. He lures you in. He does. He pokey lures you in, and then he's going to pokey
this
go you out
better not be
here.
About Pokemon. It's not Pokemon. I'm so losing that.
So am I.
Not at all. Here we go. This game is called Cash and Checks. Cash and Paychecks. Has this actor or actress appeared in a comic book movie?
Oh, God.
Okay.
This is gonna be okay. He's going to win this one.
Actors trying to get paid. Actors, okay. Sometimes they got to get paid.
Okay. Has this actor been in a comic book-based film?
Yeah, so it's a yes or no. You don't even have to say which movie. Just yes or no. Okay. Are they not? Drew, you won last week, so you get to choose between A or B. What do you want? Choose wisely.
I'm going
to
go with Group A.
Group A. Here we go, Drew. Has this actor or actress been in a comic book movie? Number one, Uma Thurman. Incorrect. She was Poison Ivy and Batman and Robin.
Son of a bitch.
That's right. So I don't get to steal.
No,
this
stealing.
Is not a
no
steal
stealing,
deal.
No.
Damn. I knew that one.
You can taunt and like be like, oh, I knew that, and talk shit all you want, but you're not getting any points.
Yeah, so. There's no point.
Style points, but no actual points. Number two, Drew, Leonardo DiCaprio.
No.
That is correct. Number three, Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
That's correct. He was in Constantine. Number four, Harrison Ford.
No.
Incorrect. He was in Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh, God.
And number five, Lucy Liu. That is correct. You got 3 out of 5. Not a bad showing, Amy.
Ugh, I'm here so we go. Funny. I would have gotten a couple of those wrong.
You said Constantine. I was thinking of Scanner Darkly.
Ah, that's a Philip K. Dick novel, not a comic book.
Also a comic book.
Sorry, it's a novel.
I know. But they made a comic book before they made the movie.
Doesn't count. I'm the game master here. Amy.
Okay.
I got 5. You ready?
So it's before the movie, it has to be a comic book.
Had to start life as a comic book.
Okay.
Yes. Number one, Denzel Washington.
No.
Correct. Number two, Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes.
That is correct. He was Two-Face. Number three, Peter Fonda.
Yes.
That is correct. He was in Ghost Rider. Number four, Meryl Streep.
No.
That is correct. Number five, John Travolta.
Scanning. Yes.
That is correct. He was in The Punisher. Yeah.
I got stomped.
You got beat, Drew. 5 out of 5. Amy.
Sweet. I can't believe I won that. I can't even believe that I got 5 out of 5.
Yeah, beat Drew. Congratulations, Drew. You're now 11-7 and 0-2 against Amy Drew.
Yeah.
She's got your number, yo. Take what? That. Take that.
Dang. Yep. My geek street cred just went way the fuck up.
Notorious ADT. Kong Skull Island. Back to that. Kong Skull Island. Yes, it looks like Apocalypse Now.
With monsters.
It looks with monsters.
Well, that seems...
It looks like a Vietnam War movie.
That sounds so much better to me. If they just called it that instead of Kong Skull Island, I'd be like, well, that sounds
terrible,
awesome.
That's a terrible title,
there's
Kong
even
Skull
a scene
Island.
That's like straight out of Apocalypse Now where all of the helicopters are going towards the rising or setting sun.
They're going towards the sun.
But instead of this, it just being the setting sun, fucking Kong is right in the middle of it.
And it's 100-foot Kong, so it's the biggest
the
film Kong
look
ever.
Like dragonflies.
Exactly.
Basically.
Yeah.
There's a shot. It's funny really you say good. That. There's a shot in the trailer of helicopters flying in the distance, and then one of them lands on a branch because it's a dragonfly. It's funny you say that.
Huh. Yeah.
They actually blended one of it, and it's like, I was like, whoa, that's an artful shot for a King Kong prequel. And then the trailer keeps going. It's like, this is a good looking movie.
I should have made films.
It looks really pretty.
Hey, no, there's nothing stopping you. You can still do it.
I want to make those cheap horror movies with you guys.
Oh, let's super cheap. We can make them for $5.
I'm in on that.
Yeah. If they make 100,000.
I'll kick in 5 and let's make one for 10.
There we go. Double the budget.
Yeah, I'll be the executive producer.
Go to Dollar General and get everything we need.
Five, a 501. I'll own it. I'll own the the
get all. Yeah, we'll get all the rights.
Right, write all that.
And then they also put out trailers for all the Marvel Netflix stuff, the Luke Cage and Defenders teaser and stuff like that. And all that looks really good. The Iron Fist teaser.
The Luke Cage one looks fun. He's just gangster as fuck, walking around in a hoodie, whooping everybody's ass.
It looks like he's got a touch of the Black Dynamite in him. Like it's a sort of a 70s blaxploitation type thing that they're doing with the show.
Black Dynamite.
And also, like, on the real, it is time. I think America could use a black superhero who is impervious to getting shot.
Yeah.
By cops. I think we could use that outlet right now.
And who wears a hoodie on the rag?
And he wears a hoodie on the rag, gets shot by cops, that's and then he just walks through everyone.
That's some scathing social commentary.
That's some power to the people shit right there, man. So that's coming out late September. Looking forward to that. Then Iron Fist later this year. So a lot of interesting stuff come out at Comic-Con. A lot of interesting trailers out online. I recommend people checking it out. Now it's time for our New York City senior correspondent horror film aficionado, Billy D, with his Death at the Movies. Dr. Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dude?
What's up, Billy?
I was able to check out See Guns N' Roses off my bucket list last night.
Oh, geez.
No, you weren't. I got news for you. No, you weren't.
So I got that going for me, which is nice. If you ever have the opportunity to see a big heavy metal band in New Jersey, I highly recommend you go for People Watching Alone.
Don't do anything in New
Jersey. Yeah, well, that's true. Stay out of New Jersey.
Some real humans on display. Imagine heavy metal parking lot. Except Zebra Man and Shirtless Guy got office jobs, got fat, and have the money to tailgate in style, with expensive whiskey and craft beer.
Oh god, that's
so I'm old enough to remember when Guns N' Roses were, quote-unquote, the most dangerous band in rock and roll.
Yeah.
And this was more akin to a Disney ride, aww, but all the parents were drunk as fuck.
Aww.
Word.
All the kids,
I so see that, Billy.
All the, all the kids were Billy. Dressed like their favorite characters, really weird, but I got to see Axl bang out November Rain on a grand piano.
Literally banging out with his fat fingers,
is that right? I was just going to say, on a reinforced fucking sausage floor.
Fingers. Yeah. Poor
so
Axl.
Mean.
I've been working at home quite a bit, so I've only managed to watch...
I can say anything about his fatness.
So I've only managed to watch Stranger Things this week on
Netflix. You watched Stranger Things on Netflix.
Which
okay,
is good,
yeah.
So did we.
All right, very cool. Talk
that about... was mean. I'm going to feel bad about that for a week.
What, Axl Rose? He's rich. He doesn't care.
Yeah, seriously. At first, I wasn't into it, but it really grew on me by the third episode.
What?
I think it was all the references thrown at the screen, and that they kept using bits of music from Only God Forgives, which is a really interesting movie to steal from. For someone whose pop culture worldview was shaped by 80s movies, it got distracting, but by the time they were reenacting entire scenes from Ferris Bueller, I was along for the ride. I'm also a sucker for cosmic horror, and this has elements of Lovecraft sprinkled throughout. Describing certain things can be a major spoiler, so I won't give up too much.
Good idea.
But we can chat on social about it when everyone has gotten caught up.
Yeah.
The kids really saved this. If the kids weren't so good, this whole thing would fall apart.
Mm.
I really like Mike, Dustin, and Lucas.
Mm.
These are characters that are going to be quoted and cosplayed and fan-arted to death.
Mm.
Another home run for Netflix. Definitely worth watching for fans of Spielberg / Amblin / Hooper / Donner / Hughes / Dante or quote-unquote children in peril 80s movies. Stay cool,
that
Billy
worked.
D.
That worked. Yeah. I want to see it now, Billy
it's
D.
Really, it's really good.
It's
I
a cool show.
It.
It is very good.
There's 8 episodes on Netflix, and I think it's totally worth it. Total
100%.
Throwback to the 80s. Stephen King type
Spielberg
story.
My beard just got big talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it makes you think of Hairspray and
I lived
processed
it.
Food.
I lived it.
And it's it's great. I enjoyed it very much. Stranger Things. Great music, very electronic, very 80s sounding. It's a very 80s show. Right?
Cool.
And one of the kids' real name is Finn Wolfhard. That's his actual name.
Wolfhard?
Wolfhard is his last name. Finn Wolfhard.
That's a pretty bitchy name.
Wolfhard. Thanks, Billy D. We appreciate it. Now it's time for the segment of the people. You can hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, however you want to do it. Email us, and we'll read what you got to say in your segment, the segment of the people called the Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for, the world famous
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Wow.
They're probably gonna play that song when you go see him.
Oh, God, I hope so. Yeah, I'm really hoping that Zach De La Rocha just like hops on stage.
Where are they
stage.
Playing?
Oh
no,
he's gonna see him in Brooklyn.
Prophets of Rage. I'm going to see him in Barclays in Brooklyn.
I saw them at their debut at the Wetlands in New York City.
Nice. Their debut.
It was the. It might have been the sickest, most amazing club show I ever saw.
That's awesome. I'm sure
it was insane.
At the Wetlands, that place wasn't very big.
No, it was not. I mean, the stage was as high as his table.
Yeah, yeah.
He kicked security out, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's gotta be like seeing him at the Social.
Yeah,
yes.
Size wise.
Well, yeah. No, the Social's actually a little smaller, but the but the stage area
closer to the Beecham, maybe a little smaller than the Beecham.
But it's yeah, it was.
I talked about it before on the show.
You're gonna have fun.
I talked about it before on the show. I saw him play '99. They're gigging for their third album, and they were doing the David Letterman show, late show with David Letterman. But instead of performing inside the studio, they set up a stage on the street. And they performed a public set, and they did one song for the show, and then they played four more for everyone who just showed
that's
up.
That's awesome.
It was great.
I reviewed that show for my college paper.
Nice.
That's how dated that is.
That is
but
awesome.
it was an awesome show. You're going to love it.
I wonder if you can find that on the internet. Internet, find it. Amy Drew Thompson review of Rage Against Machines.
In the Pioneer. That was the name of the paper.
Another clue. Get on it, internet.
Internet. You go.
Again, they're not going to do it because they don't listen to us. These,
that's
issues.
Okay.
Box Populi time. Drew, take it away.
I've got an iTunes review from BDM15969.
I think it's the title of the review.
Also known as Suckin' Fat TTs.
TTs, that's the name of the writer. If you leave us...
Theme today.
If you leave us a review on iTunes, we will read it on the show. For example, Drew.
Love the podcast. Great movie reviews. 5 stars.
It's very simple. We appreciate that. That helps us out so much. It probably took that person 60 seconds for Second Fat TTs to write that review, but it helps us out tremendously. So please do that. We'll read it on the show. Thank you very much, Drew. What else we got?
On Twitter, @TheRealLarBear got at us.
On Twitter.
What's up, LarBear? I was terribly disappointed in Lights Out.
Lights Out, okay.
Grimy face.
Lights Out. Oh, and an emoji, too. Uh-huh. Lights out review. Let's hear it.
Directing, first-timer David Sandberg did a great job. Mm-hmm. Acting, Palmer was awesome, and the kid was quite believable. Mm-hmm. No problems with supporting cast. Mm-hmm. Basic plot, creative yet simple. At the same time, the screenplay as a whole was horrendously written.
Aww.
This film had plot holes in the complex part of the story left and right.
Aww.
And at the end of the whole film, after the denouement... You get absolutely no closure on what would be a national headline story if this happened in real life. I won't spoil anything, but it would be groundbreaking if this movie happened for real the way the ending leaves off. Good for Sandberg on getting his 3-minute film turned into a major picture. Super cool of James Wan to produce it, but the end result is a typical teenager Friday night scare flick.
Typical cheap horror film is what I'm hearing.
Yeah,
it is impressive that this guy, David F. Sandberg, not to be confused with David Sandberg, the guy who did Kung Fury, the poster behind me, he did a 3-minute short film for Lights Out, and he somehow got that turned into a feature-length film. So
good for him.
Totally good for him. Good for him, but apparently the real Lar Bear didn't like it very much.
But you know what? With the amount of money that it made, I don't think anybody cares how good it is.
At this point, yeah.
I wish that it was us. That could have been us for $10.
Yep. Seriously.
Only we had thought of it.
We gotta get on that.
@YBMe today got at us.
What's up, YBMe?
What should I see this weekend? Ghostbusters, Suicide Squad, or Star Trek?
Interesting question for this weekend. Suicide Squad doesn't come out for another 2 weeks. So, not that one. Not that one. Which leaves Ghostbusters and Star Trek out. So Ghostbusters
all the way.
Ghostbusters, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, based, yeah. And I'm basing that on your review of Star Trek.
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't agree on that.
Ghostbusters was good.
We agree on Ghostbusters. Yeah. We don't agree on Star Trek.
It was funny.
So.
Was fun to watch.
Yeah, it's an enjoyable film.
It was a good movie. Yeah. Good people in it.
Just sit back, relax, enjoy the laughs. But if you want to wait a couple weeks, see Suicide Squad, because that looks like a lot of fun. That looks like a good time. All right, what's next?
On Facebook, Tom Lucas got at us.
What's up, Tom? Don't vote for Trump, dick.
How can a movie that everyone has waited lifetimes to see with a $250 million budget have only 8 minutes of and 2 hours and 22 minutes of letdown? BVS.
Sorry about that, Batman vs. Superman. I saw Tom post some like Trump stuff online. I'm like, brother, don't do it, dude.
I missed the whole question because I was sucking beer back out of my nose.
Basically, he was saying, how can someone put so much money into Batman vs. Superman for it to turn out so meh? Which is like, you know what? You can ask yourself that about many
like,
movies.
Yeah, that's cool. Like,
things
that's
and
like,
movies.
That's most movies.
Most movies, regardless of money. I mean, yeah, I am baffled when I see a certain film. Like, these things take a minimum of a year to make from start to finish.
Even Paranormal.
Paranormal takes longer. 2-3 years? Paranorman? I'm thinking Paranorman.
Paranorman? No, not Paranorman. That was good.
Paranormal Activity?
Yeah.
Even those will take a year. Like, cheap movies like that still take a year to product, to write the screenplay. To put together your sets. What do you need? You're going through screenplay. We need this. We need that. We need these actors. There's so much work till you get to the end of the road. How do you put so much work into something and then you watch the movie and you're like, this sucks. Everything about it stinks. Every decision you made was wrong.
Yeah, that's like most movies.
It is most movies.
Ask Siskel.
Movies are so
ask
hard
Ask Ebert. You can't ask them, actually. Yeah, my point
they're
is
both quite dead.
Yeah, they're both dead. But if they were alive, they would probably be like, yeah, that's most movies.
They will tell you, movies are hard as shit to make.
Yeah.
It's really hard telling a good story, especially one sustained for 90 minutes, 2 hours. People just say, I'm just going to make a movie. Like, no, you're not. You're going to make a bad movie is what you're going to make. So.
Sometimes bad movies are good, though.
Every now and then. But
they have to be epically bad to be that good.
And even then, you got to be on its wavelength. Do you remember
But at least you didn't spend a lot of money to make it.
That's true.
Well, depending.
Depending on what your point is. Yeah. What's your frame of reference for a lot of money?
Yeah.
Did you ever see The Room?
Oh, wow.
The Tommy Wiseau movie, The Room? This movie's so infamously bad now. It came out like 2005.
It is really like... It came out in 2005. It looks like it came out in 1985.
And it's a type of movie where it's like...
Good movies were made in 1985,
I'm sure.
But bad ones are too. It looks like
Most
movies are bad. It looks like the type of movie where an alien... It's like someone explained to an alien what movies are, and then that alien tried to make a movie. That's The Room.
It is
that
very
sounds,
strange.
That sounds funny.
And it looks so low budget. It is low budget. It looks so cheap and so bad. That motherfucker spent $6 million making that movie.
Like Ed Wood floating paper plate with the wire showing bad.
It looks like it cost him a quarter million.
Well, here's the thing, Chris. He made one mistake. All of his inside shots, he shot outside. And all of his outside shots, he shot inside.
Not all of them, but he did do stuff like that. He had scenes that were set indoors, but he shot them outside with green screens. And then he had shit that was set outdoors, but they shot them inside with like sets and stuff.
So it's like the indie Ishtar.
No, it's like the indie. He's like the next Ed Wood, except he only made one movie.
And he will never make another
one. He'll never make
another one. Yeah, but they're not going to make... Johnny Depp isn't going to play this guy in a movie.
Oh, he could. He could.
But you know who will?
Who?
James Franco. Because they're already making the movie.
I swear to God. I was joking.
I swear to God. I know that's what makes it so amazing. One of the guys who acted in that movie... Actually...
I was totally joking.
A guy who was in the crew. He was just like the script boy. He got a role in the movie... And he ended up writing a book about the making of The Room, and they're turning that into a movie. And James Franco was playing the Ed Wood type guy, this Tommy Wiseau fella.
Really weird guy.
Real weird dude. He doesn't tell anyone his age.
Or his nationality.
Or where he's from, what country he's from.
I think he's from somewhere in Eastern Europe.
I think he's like a Eastern European bloc type of guy. Yeah, the way he talks and stuff. And he also looks like he's like 60, but he's like old man ripped, so it's hard to tell. And you also know he's old man ripped because he has multiple sex scenes in this movie that he wrote and directed and produced.
Yes,
that's creepy.
Within the first 3 sex scenes within the first 15 minutes.
Correct. Creeped out.
Yes.
But intrigued.
As you
but
should
creeped
be.
Out.
As you should
oh, you should be creeped out. They're really weird.
Can you tell I'm a Cronenberg fan?
Man.
Cronenberg I'm intrigued. I'm disgusted yet intrigued.
The Room is so notoriously bad now that they have like midnight screenings, like monthly midnight screenings, Rocky Horror Picture style, where people throw spoons at the screen and they throw footballs down all this stuff correlates to what happens in the movie.
It's really weird.
Weird stuff.
The football throwing scene is very strange.
I think you should have a screening of this, and I want to come to it.
Of The Room?
Yes.
Maybe. But it's. You gotta be ready for it though, because if you're not ready for it, it's a tough 90 minutes. You gotta be ready for it though.
I'll bring beer.
What brought that up again?
Where do we start?
Yeah, where
do
we start?
How can we have such a large budget make such a crap
movie? Oh, yeah. Tom, don't be a dick, don't vote for Trump. What's next?
Adam Martin asks, TV talk?
What about TV talk? We're going to do, Drew and I do the talking TV bonus episodes like every few months. So we got one coming up soon. But have you been watching any TV shows lately?
Like I said, I've been avoiding the news at all costs.
Right.
And so I watch a lot of cartoons and I'm catching up on Doctor Who.
And Doctor Who.
So that's that's most of my TV.
That's what you've been getting down with.
Yeah. Although I had a bout of insomnia a while back and I watched the entire season of Humans in like 2 nights.
Someone who was telling me about Humans.
That's a good show.
Someone was telling me about that a while ago.
It was good.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I would highly recommend that.
What channel was that on? What network? Do you remember? Was that a network or one of the cable
channels?
It was
a cable network.
Okay.
Show.
Like a TNT maybe?
Yeah, it might have been. It wasn't AMC. It mm-hmm. wasn't where. It might have been TNT. Okay. It could have been. I don't know.
BBC America?
No,
maybe?
It was not BBC. No? Okay. Although it is based on a show that I think it was.
An English show?
No, I think Norwegian or Swedish.
Okay, sure. Yeah, that happens all the time.
I think. But it's shot in England, in and around London, mm-hmm. London and London suburbs, so okay. Most of the actors are British.
Okay, that's I like British actors. British actors
but good show.
Right on. All right, so check that out. We've been watching a preview of our Talking TV episode. We just finished Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. We watched it over the course of a week. That. It's very cool, and it's only 8 episodes. So it's totally a good sit. Winona Ryder's in it. She's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Winona Ryder getting some work.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
I love it. Well, she's she's an 80s icon right there.
Yeah, exactly. That's why she's in it.
For sure.
Totally. Speaking of 80s icons, Christian Slater in Mr. Robot.
Season
Heard
2.
Phenomenal stuff. So just today, I was deciding. Really? I thought I was going to watch it tonight.
Have you watched any of it at all?
No.
Okay.
Watch the first season first.
We'll be careful what we say. Totally worth watching
this is what I heard.
Second season just started.
The monologue in the group setting.
Yeah,
from last week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That
was crazy.
God. I'm going home and watching that. It was already on my list.
And so. If you watch when you watch a show, the thing I think what makes Mr. Robot so what makes it stand apart from other things on TV right now is that it is such a cinematic show. The guy who created it. He's like, he loves Scorsese and Kubrick and Fincher.
Michael Mann.
And you can see all of these influences. And the second season, he wrote and directed every single episode. So in the first one, he did a few episodes. And the second one, he did them all. So it's like very much this guy's vision. And it's also like a little heavy-handed and stuff. But still, it's very. It's probably my favorite show on right now because it's so exciting.
You have cemented it because I heard great stuff.
I think it's great. I loved the 2-part season 2 premiere. Yeah. I thought it was so good. Then last week's episode was fucking crazy. Can't wait for Wednesday. Yeah. It's a good show. We're gonna start watching BoJack Horseman.
Yeah.
Season 3. Just haven't been watching that at all. You like cartoons? You said you were watching cartoons.
Yes. Which
BoJack's
one?
Awesome.
BoJack Horseman. You gotta get on. That's on Netflix.
It is the truest. Funniest / saddest cartoon you'll ever watch.
Oh, no.
And only because it's so real.
It comes out of nowhere.
There are certain things like this. I've been watching Rick and Morty. I don't know if you
guys know. Rick and Morty is
so
fantastic.
So Rick and Morty, you watch that show and you're just like, this is so deep.
How did
this get so deep all of a sudden?
BoJack's the same way.
BoJack's a weird the same way where you're watching, you're having a good time, it's funny, and then you're not paying attention, all of a sudden it's getting like heavy on you.
God, I love that.
Wait a second, why am I having an emotional reaction to this?
Rick and Morty
cartoon?
Is the best for that.
Rick and Morty does it, they do it very well. Yeah.
Who don't watch cartoons don't get it.
Well, they think cartoons, they think
they just
Mickey Mouse.
They totally don't get it. Yeah. I'm like,
they don't think Ren and Stimpy, Rick and Morty. Yeah.
Those are things that are like adults get stuff like that more than the kids are going to get.
Well, but I think adults sometimes have a blind spot.
Because I think it's for kids, but it's really for everyone.
But with most adults don't realize that in the beginning, cartoons were created for adults, not for kids.
Yeah. Right.
That's why they had smoking and drinking.
Well, now
and
I'm
and
in.
Stuff.
If you're saying yes, it's like Rick and Morty in that way, then that's a good enough excuse right there.
I would say BoJack is a cartoon, but it's a cartoon for adults.
Oh, no, your kids should...
Your kids
should not be watching it.
I don't know how much
they
would even understand it. Yeah, because it's very much about about an aging person who's trying to find his way in life and past regrets about love, loss, stuff like that.
I'm ready to weep already.
Every character though is like it's a talking horse, and it's Will Arnett again as a talking horse. He's perfect. And Aaron Paul,
his girlfriend's a talking cat.
His girlfriend's a talking cat on again off again girlfriend. But then Alison Brie is like his biographer. And Aaron Paul is sleeping on his couch. And I love Paul F. Tompkins, a comedian. Yep. And he's a dog. And he's a dog named Mr. Peanut Butter. Peanut Butter's one word. And he's like super happy all the time.
He's a dog.
He's a dog.
Yeah.
He's a golden retriever.
He's a big rum dog.
Yeah. Right. And he has great success. And BoJack is just like, oh, this fucking guy. It's good stuff. So definitely recommend that for sure. What were we talking about? That got us
TV talk.
So there you go. Here's some TV talk, Adam. Got you some TV talker, I would say.
Paul Hine.
What's up, Paul?
Check out CGI young Michael Caine in deleted Kingsman scene.
Oh, I wanted to have that pulled up for you guys.
I love Kingsman.
How long before all actors, actresses are going to be computer-generated images?
Yeah, that's a scary thing because, yeah, if you look online, and he posted it to our Facebook page, there's a picture of Michael Caine, and he looks like Alfie-era Michael Caine, like 60s Michael Caine.
But he looks very CG.
Yes, it's still to the point where you
but he
can
won't.
Tell.
You know, in 2 years they'll perfect that shit.
I hope so.
5 to 10 years they will for sure.
I know, but I don't. You know, I'm a fan of practical special effects.
Me too. It's weird,
and I'm kind of a fan of people actually acting
and looking like themselves. Right? That's part of the beauty of
yes, exactly.
Of having actors and seeing them age.
Yeah,
years
I'm, I don't know.
And change.
Maybe I'm old school, but I kind of just like people to do the job.
Be themselves and then bring in new actors. We don't have to recreate Charlton Heston.
Let young actors age and then they will get roles that reflect the age they are.
Yeah, why not let the medium evolve naturally,
you know, because
instead of trying to make
people
old
do.
People look young.
20-year-old people will, if they're lucky, one day be 60-year-old people.
Yeah, if they're lucky.
And their roles for 60-year-old people, maybe less, but you know.
For sure, less. Robert Downey Jr. was aged down in the last Captain America movie. Yeah. They made him look, they had a scene where he looked like he was
18, 19?
Yeah, I was going to say 20. But again, like Drew said,
we've seen you can, him at 18 and 20.
That's well, no, thing. Exactly, you know? Which is why it looked so fake.
Same, we've seen him at that age.
Same
Let
thing
him
with,
be his age now.
They did, well, because there was a flashback scene.
Oh,
flashing
yeah,
back
yeah.
to Tony Stark when he was
oh,
a kid.
Oh, yeah. That's
Same thing with Michael Douglas in Ant-Man. The movie started with a scene that was set in the 80s.
But you know what?
Michael Douglas walks into the room. He looks like Wall Street era Michael
For
Douglas.
For some reason, that one didn't look as bad.
I think they did more makeup with him.
Okay. I think he's had more plastic surgery.
That might do it
well,
too.
That too, yeah.
But they might have gone with more makeup for Ant-Man as opposed to CG in a person's face.
Yeah.
If you go back to watch X-Men The Last Stand, they got CG.
Why
Patrick
they
Stewart
just do
and
that cheese
Ian McKellen
thing that they used to do with Sybil Shepherd on Moonlight.
Vaseline on the lens, so everything looks like General Hospital.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because we will tell, like, why are these individual shots so?
Why does she look so glowy?
Why is it so smoggy looking? This is weird. How long? It's pretty soon. There are going to be way more digital manipulation of
and
people's looks
and faces.
And can't
we just suspend our disbelief and understand that it's supposed to be 40 years ago or whatever?
People are
for 2 minute scenes.
People are getting visually more sophisticated.
Get another actor to play the young person.
That's what I like when they do that. They did
get a young actor to play young Michael Caine.
Or
a young actor
going in the other direction for the Monuments Men. There was a scene that the movie ended with George Clooney's character as an old man, so he just shot a scene with his dad playing him.
That's fun.
Yeah, because George Clooney's like,
I think
my
it's easier maybe
alive.
With the practical, they can age you better than they can, you know, it's easier to make you look older.
That's true, but then again, you got the whole all the digital stuff with the Brad Pitt, Benjamin Button. They made him look like a creepy old baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was weird.
He was old but young.
And then he kept getting younger. Like, what was this all about? It's Brad Pitt. Thanks,
Paul.
I was going to say Paul. What else we got?
Paul got a list again.
What's up, Paul?
He's got Demolition Review.
Demolition, the Jake Gyllenhaal movie.
Yep.
You guys see that one?
No.
Okay.
Demolition from 2015. Jake Gyllenhaal's wife dies in a car crash, and he feels no emotions. While at the hospital, a vending machine eats his cash, and he decides to write a letter to the company. Gyllenhaal ends up making a connection with the vending company's customer service rep and her son. In order to rebuild his life, he must first demolish his old one.
Yep.
Solid movie overall. I feel like Gyllenhaal is a talented actor who hasn't found his breakout role yet. What are your thoughts on Jake G?
We've talked about Gyllenhaal before in the show. We're both fans of him. Amy, are you a fan of Jake Gyllenhaal?
I'm not a fan.
Not a fan, but you're not looking for him in movies. Like, no. Oh, look at Jake Gyllenhaal.
No, I'm a fan. I like his sister. Like, you know, I love
Maggie
Secretary.
Gyllenhaal. I thought she was going to be, for a while, looked like she was going to be the more popular of
the
two.
Yeah, so I would probably be quicker to be like, ooh, I liked her. Let me go see that.
Sure.
But I'm not a fan.
I
he wouldn't
am.
Turn me off of a movie.
I am a fan. I will like check out a movie for him if in certain
Wait,
roles.
Wait, wasn't he the first Spider-Man?
No, he was in the running for
who am I thinking of?
Tobey Maguire.
That's who I'm thinking. I'm crossing him with Tobey Maguire.
But he was in the running for that as well as Batman. Batman Begins.
I'm totally crossing him with Tobey Maguire. But yeah, no, he was in The Day After Tomorrow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I know that. And yes. I'm trying to think. I know I've seen more movies.
Donnie Darko.
Well, Donnie Darko. Oh my God.
That's where
yes,
he started.
Of course.
I was going to say, it's funny.
Yeah.
Paul asks if he's going to have a breakout role. I always figured Donnie Darko was
that was his breakout role. That's what put him on the map. I mean, that's going to be, they're going to be showing that at the Enzian once a year.
I like that Jake Gyllenhaal. I like it when he does the weird movies. I like it when he does
the obsessive stuff.
Yeah,
and you know his,
Darko's a good one.
What
Seth Rogen's in it, which is really funny.
What was that awful movie do with Disney? The Prince of Persia.
Yeah,
his Prince of Persia, and his other movies like that.
How did they get him playing a Prince of Persia? Right. Like, where did they cast this guy with the sleepy blue eyes to be the king?
Yes. Like, let's round this guy up and put him in Arab setting.
When he does his movies like Donnie Darko and Enemy and stuff like that.
Prisoners.
Yeah, those are the movies that I like him in.
And Demolition, he was kind of like that, kind of obsessing over
stuff. He's got it in him.
Nightcrawler.
The right one.
He was really good in that Southpaw movie, but the movie itself was okay. Like, it could have been better. Nightcrawler's fantastic. Actually, maybe that could have been like his quote breakout role. I think that should have gotten more attention. It's definitely on the Netflix. It was a past Netflix pick of the week.
That's a cult pick though. Donnie Darko. There are people who really just obsess on that movie.
Yeah, well, but then they put out
weird movie.
But then they put out that director's cut,
which was awful.
It was worse. They actually made it worse.
Yeah. I didn't see it.
Don't see it. Don't see it. It
ruins the movie.
It ruins the movie retroactively. It's weird. Like, just see the original. Also weird. People don't know. A lot of people don't know now, probably. That Donnie Darko was supposed to come out October 2001, and they got pulled from theaters because there's the whole bit about the airplane disappearing and the engine crashing into the house at the end. And the month after September 11th, they're like, no airplane, nothing related injuries. And that went straight to a video.
I always feel like they're just a little too crazy with that nonsense.
Oh, yeah. Super,
I don't
like
think
censorship.
That,
of
I mean,
it, hell, being
I don't think that
would.
I mean, that
reactions.
Movie had its popularity.
Seth Rogen was a bad guy in that movie.
Under the radar. You know what I mean?
So well, it ended up being a cult film.
And I don't think that having released that at the same time would have done a thing to hurt that.
Oh, no, I don't think so. Probably
not. You know, it was not going to be a blockbuster movie.
No, it wasn't. But it still had to work a little harder for people to see it. But it had the crazy bunny.
The bunny was crazy.
That drew people in. It didn't end up being a good movie. Yeah. So that helps, too.
It was fun.
Echo and
the Bunnyman.
I think we're all Jake Gyllenhaal fans here. I definitely recommend people see Nightcrawler if they haven't seen it. Because he's all crazy eyed in that one.
And Zodiac.
Zodiac.
He's so fucking good.
Zodiac's an amazing movie, and he's great.
That was a good movie.
And now every time who plays the guy?
John Carroll Lynch.
My God, Twisty.
Okay, so here's the thing.
He's a sicko. I love him.
So here's the thing. When I was growing up, he's Drew Carey's cross-dressing brother on the Drew Carey show.
That's right.
And then
on The Walking Dead, that's amazing.
I saw Zodiac, and ever since then, he's been the fucking Zodiac killer. Every time I see him, I'm like, he's going to murder everyone.
We just watched The Invitation on Netflix. He's done that. It's like, Zodiac! The Zodiac just showed up to the party.
He totally did show up to the party, too.
Yeah.
Zodiac killer did show up.
Yeah, Zodiac style. Yeah, be careful, guys. Demolition's a pretty good movie. It was okay.
And we have a review of Elvis and Nixon from Paul.
Alright, Paul, hit us up with that Elvis and Nixon review. Elvis and Nixon, a pretty fun movie, I thought.
A fictional recreation of the events leading up to the famous photo of Elvis Presley and Richard Nixon together in the Oval Office.
Yep.
Although Michael Shannon and Kevin Spacey don't exactly look the part of their historical counterparts, the mannerisms and speech patterns are spot on. The rest of the supporting cast are all great as well. Give this movie a watch and be left wondering how much of these shenanigans could be true.
It's a fun movie. Elvis and Nixon just came out on DVD last week, I believe. Michael Shannon is Elvis, Kevin Spacey is Nixon, and it's about their 30-minute conversation one random day. And it's a fun movie. I enjoy it. Definitely recommend people checking it out.
And last but certainly not least, we have an email from Scott.
What's up, Scott?
Entitled Brevity.
Brevity. Oh. Last week, Scott's email took us about 3 hours to read.
The Infiltrator, haiku.
Nice.
Bad book or bad edit?
Ooh.
Plot jumps, A-E-I-O-Z. No Cranston, no film.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
Here's his review.
I would agree with that. No Cranston, no film. I would agree with that.
Here's his review.
Okay.
Meh. Narcos is way better. TCG. Yes.
Brevity.
Yes.
Nicely done, Scott. Nicely done.
Cranston,
too. Cranston's great. He's very good in that movie. Everyone.
Tony Wazamo's also
all
in the
actors
too.
In that movie are fine. Like Wazamo or Diane Kruger, Benjamin Brad, all of them, they're all fine. The movie itself, though, it feels like movie of the week. Pablo Escobar movie of the week.
Sometimes you know? Like good actors will not save you.
No. And
they can't.
And even then, it's like the movie is like, it's directed fine. It's okay. It's just, there's nothing special
they
about it.
They can make mediocre stuff better than mediocre, but they can't take it all the way.
No. And this is one of those things where it's like, alright, it's on TBS on a Tuesday at 8. Now is a good time to finally watch The Infiltrator, but it's not something you go to the theater to see. Thanks, Scott. We really appreciate the review. Anything else for the box office?
Nope, that's it.
That's it? Okay, that's it. Here we go. Movie news. Let's wrap this up real quick here with some movie news. I was going to pull this article. Actually, you know what? There's some good quotes in here. The Lego Batman movie. Before they put out the trailer, they released images of Robin and the Joker, and they have corresponding quotes as to how they approached the movie. So, again, this comes out February 2017, talking about the Joker in the Lego Batman movie. Who is this? This is director Chris McKay, who helped pretty much co-direct the Lego movie with Lord Miller. He says, "The Joker sees himself on the same level as Batman, a peer at the top of the game, but Batman says that's not the case, which sends Joker into a spiral of trying to prove to Batman that he is indeed the greatest enemy." So the whole movie is Joker trying to prove to Batman that he's worthy of being his foe.
Trying to one-up himself over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, so that's going to work out well for
so
Joker.
So much insecurity in Joker.
Poor Joker. You would think he'd be more confident.
Yeah, he needs to...
He needs Batman's approval?
Well, no, he does.
I guess he does.
He totally does.
Batman validates who Joker is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is talking about Michael Cera's Robin. He says, "Robin is a super positive kid who always sees the glass as half full. Really, at the end of the day, he just wants a hug. Michael brings the sweetness and honesty." So that obviously is going to annoy the fuck out of Batman.
That's going to be great against, you know, the Lego Batman that I know and love.
Yeah, it's going to be great. February 10, 2017. Can't get here soon enough, far as I'm concerned, for seeing that.
Don't you fast forward through Halloween.
Well, that means Christmas, too. I love Christmas. The Divergent movies. Remember these?
I haven't seen a single one.
You haven't seen a single one?
Me either.
You haven't even seen a single one either?
No.
That's why this is happening, guys. they made... I think there were three books, and they turned that last book, obviously, into two movies.
Like they always do.
That's like Twilight for people who don't want romance.
I guess so.
Right?
No, there's romance. It's Twilight for people who don't want vampires.
Okay.
Because I think there's romance in it. There's romance in it. There's always. It's a young adult.
I tried to watch Twilight.
I mean,
once.
The people who are in Twilight.
I tried.
I've seen the last one.
I really did.
They're just
tried.
Really into bestiality. I mean, it's a young woman's choice between the undead or
a dog.
So she's choosing between.
No, so she's either gonna fuck a zombie,
necrophilia,
or a dog. Yes.
Necrophilia or bestiality.
Yes, necrophilia or bestiality. It's a young
shark
woman's
boy.
Choice.
He was Shark Boy.
Yes.
So,
when I look at him, I see Shark Boy.
This is crazy. The Divergent movies. They put out three of them so far. They had one more to go, but no one went and saw the last one. No one saw it.
Okay.
Because everyone's like, we're done with these dumb movies. But Lionsgate's not done with them. They want to finish this out. So the fourth Divergent movie will be a TV movie.
Wow, that really is just...
Is that sad?
That's so sad.
Turns into a TV movie, and then they're going to try to do a TV spinoff show that no one's going to care about.
Nope.
And if they make it, it'll get canceled after a couple episodes. So
that's a TV show they need to do in 20 years when nobody knows what it is, and they reboot it, and somebody thinks it's cool and new, and they're like, wow, this is awesome.
Some geek is gonna be like, dude, that's old.
Yeah.
But no, it's not gonna go well for anyone.
Yeah.
And finally, guys, average movie ticket across the country. How much do you think the average movie ticket is across the entire
somewhere
country?
Between
13.
I was gonna say somewhere between 13 and 15.
The average movie ticket in the United States of America is $8.73.
Shut
what
up!
The
where?
Fuck?
Yes,
it hasn't.
It's the entire country. You got a bunch of little communities where the cost of living is cheap still. You can still get a movie ticket.
$8?
$8.
Like for regular 7 o'clock adult price.
For a regular ticket.
Wow.
And this is averaging in your IMAXs and your 3Ds and
everything. Your $30 tickets and everything.
There's still plenty of theaters out there where you can get cheap movies.
And they're nowhere where you want to
They're
live.
Nowhere where we are, guys.
And they're not playing the movies I want to watch either.
No, actually, the Fashion Square Mall, that really crappy theater over there,
That's $8?
No, it's less. The early, they have the early bird, which is the very first showing of the day.
That doesn't count.
It's like a $4 ticket, the very first ticket. And then the normal matinee is like $6 before 5 p.m. The
man, thing I'd is, go to some Thurston Howell theaters here.
I'm just saying that theater sucks, though. You know,
oh, it's awful.
It's a terrible theater. Now, the other theaters.
You know, I thought for 10, sure 11, I was going to be right. I thought you were going to be like, you won this game, too.
Now, in New York City, you know, your average ticket's going to be like...
That's where I grew up.
$13, $14, $15.
I guess I'm just showing my roots.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. San Francisco, it's going to be super expensive. L.A. is super expensive.
Hell, fucking Orlando is super expensive.
It's actually kind of expensive in Orlando, too.
I bought two kid tickets and an adult ticket to a 3D movie last night, and it was $30-something.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't remember.
An evening 3D
down in
movie.
South Florida.
What's that? It's like $15 a ticket? Probably $15 for the adult
ticket.
It was
the 5:45 show.
Yeah.
And it was, it was over $30 for one adult, two kids.
No food. That's why you don't get food. Don't get the food. That's how people complain about, oh, take my family
to
the
movies.
No,
we went there
movies.
Right after we ate. We were all really full.
Don't do it,
we weren't even hungry.
But I see the lines are so long for popcorn and soda. I'm like, you're fools overspending on such garbage.
Sometimes I buy popcorn.
Don't do it. No, don't.
Sometimes I smuggle in wine.
There you go. They got them in the convenient little boxes now.
I was never so happy to have done that than when I saw The Revenant.
You needed the wine to get through it? It's okay.
It was good.
It's okay. Guys, this is lightning round time.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
I'm a little scared.
It'll be fine. It's your third time going through the lightning round. I got 10 questions. I need 10 answers. Are you ready?
Is it just me?
Just you.
Okay.
All right. Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Amy, number one, have you ever dreamed of Jeannie?
No.
Number two, why would anyone ever leave it to Beaver?
Good God, I have no idea.
Number three, did Father really know best?
I sense a theme here.
But did he, though?
Sure.
Number four, what's the deal with Dennis the Menace?
This is too old even for me. I'm older than you guys, but I'm not this old. Go ahead.
All right, number five. Was Green Acres really the place to be?
It was.
Number six.
There was a Gabor there, for God's sake.
There was a Boar. Was there a Gabor? I thought you said a Boar.
A Gabor.
And a Boar. There was a Boar and a Gabor.
That's true.
Number six. Rowan and Martin or the Smothers Brothers?
Oh, God. The Smothers Brothers.
Number seven, have you ever had a bonanza?
That sounds like it's dirty and inappropriate.
It does, doesn't it? It's a very simple, innocent question. Innocent question. Number eight, what was Carol Brady thinking?
These are hard.
It's a good question.
Is it a good question? No,
it really is.
I think that's a solid question.
She already had three daughters of her own, and she marries some gay guy who has three dudes, who has three sons of her own.
That's what I was just thinking. I was thinking she really, that was birth control straight up. Six kids and a gay husband.
Yeah,
you're set.
Really screwed the pooch on that one.
Now you're set.
Back to the bestiality with Drew. Number nine, who loved Lucy?
Oh my God, everyone.
And finally, number 10, Ben Matlock, Perry Mason, Lieutenant Columbo, who do you kick out of the hot tub?
I have to keep two?
Yeah.
You can always kick out yourself. It's okay.
Okay, that would be my answer. But I just have one more question. So I'm keeping Columbo and the other two can leave.
There you go. Goodbye, Matlock and Perry Mason. Yeah. It is time for the swag bag giveaway. We got the red bag. You got the blue bag. Amy, pick one that you may want to take home.
They're both terrible choices, but I'm picking blue.
They both are terrible choices. 100%. Two sides of the same coin.
And you can read into that however you want.
The two sides of the same coin conundrum.
You may or may not go home with...
Although I will tell you, one of those bags is much more pro-gay than the other one.
I'm very pro-gay.
Well, there you go. Then you definitely picked the right one.
You can go home with Season 4, Disc 1 of House.
Hey!
Season 4 debut of House. Not Roadhouse?
No. Aww. The TV show.
Roadhouse, I would have been so into.
With the Viking and the Doctor.
That would have been better.
Oh, Viking and Doctor.
You got a jokes and gags squirt gum. You can trick your friends.
Or trick your kids. Offer them some gum and then squirt them in the face.
You have a fun spring.
make a circle. It's not a slinky.
Not a slinky.
And some Cinema Crespo Diso stickers.
Cinema Crespo Diso stickers.
You I have so many. I put them everywhere.
As you should. Yeah. Because we got to get rid of them. You can take all that stuff home. It can be all yours. Or you can
take box.
What's in
all
the box.
All the way. Box. Oh, we're going. All the way.
I didn't get a chance to hit my what's in the box button.
What's in the box?
All right, well then here we go. Go ahead and pop the top, reach in there, let everyone know what you're taking home today.
Oh my god. Oh my god. I don't have a VCR anymore.
Oh, but you got Top Gun on VHS.
I do, this is great.
Top Gun starring Goose. Tom Cruise.
You gotta love Anthony Edwards as Goose.
Anthony Edwards, when people thought he might be a movie star, and they're like, oh, that was a mistake.
He was a TV star for a little while.
He was a TV star for sure, but he was no Tom Cruise or
Val Kilmer. A beautiful young Kelly McGillis.
I know.
Who also had no chemistry with Tom Cruise, correct, by the way.
Weird, that's a weird thing.
No, it was...
Hang on.
Yeah, great chemistry with Val Kilmer.
He had great chemistry during the volleyball scene.
I was about to say,
speaking of gay movies...
Name one woman who has had good chemistry with Tom Cruise. Go.
Cameron Diaz in Night and Day.
No, I'm going to go...
Barely.
I'm going to go Rebecca De Mornay in Risky Business is the closest... I'm not going to give it chemistry. I'm going to say that's the closest he ever had to
Renee
chemistry.
Renee Zellweger
the
in
horse
Jerry Maguire.
The horse in Taps.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson and A Few Good Men.
Yeah, perhaps.
All right, guys. Enjoy Top Gun.
I love it.
Now you just gotta find a VCR. They stopped making VCRs in Japan just this month.
Still have a lot of.
The last one.
I have a lot of these, despite the fact that I don't have
VHSs. I got a whole drawer.
Yeah,
and Chris
a lot.
Just recently got a VHS player.
Yeah.
From the 80s.
And it works.
Well, yeah, it would have to be from the 80s.
No, it really is. It's Zenith brand.
Is it like a top loader?
No,
because that's a super old school.
Yeah, that's like almost 70s.
Our first one was a top loader.
Nice. Top loaders. That's not the name of this episode. all right, Drew, thank you very much.
Very welcome.
I love this. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy, for joining us. I appreciate it.
I've lost that loving feeling.
Yeah, they got that old bar scene.
Yeah, that was good.
There you go.
There might have been chemistry in there with all the other drunk guys.
Yeah, they're all feeling on each other. Yeah. They're sweating on each other. They were having a good time.
That was good.
Thanks a lot, guys, for downloading the show and listening. We appreciate it. Amy, thank you.
Oh, my God. Love being here.
Drew, thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
And we'll be back with episode 186 next week of Cinema Crest. So, break up the big bang, three more books, be excellent to each other, and we're out of here. Bye bye.
That's Amber Arcades and Arcadis, and from her Fading Lines album, brand new music for you, and we just played Right Now. Coming up on the show in just a moment, we will have Chris Crespo. We'll talk movies with Chris. I want to thank you all for listening to our program, and I want to remind everybody that Madeline Scott will be up right after me with Girl Pop.
He's the only movie critic we know. And besides, he works cheap. Let's talk movies with resident movie critic Chris Crespo.
And it's time for Chris Crespo. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing pretty good, Curtis. How you doing?
Good. Is it true you still haven't heard your intro yet?
No, you played it for me. I heard it.
Oh, okay, good. All right.
Yeah, it's all heard. Working cheap, something like that.
Yeah, so
working for peanuts, something along those lines.
Something along those lines.
Pretty accurate. It's a joke, but it's accurate.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a Thursday. I got me a delicious beer. I'm hanging out in my studio. How are you doing, Curtis?
I'm doing great, man. That sounds pretty homey. That sounds nice. That sounds good. If I might add, what style of beer are you enjoying?
All right, now I'm enjoying, what is this? This is a double ale from Omegang Brewery.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah, it's got the hint of cherry going to it, the cherries added thing. 8%, 8.2% APV. So be careful drinking it, boys and girls, you Rollins kids. I know he likes a partay.
I had the other day I had a specialty beer. It was a stout, but it was aged in port wine, barrels. It was delicious. Oh, it was great.
Those are good. They got this one now that I've been having every now and then, and these are like every now and then beers because it is like $4. A four pack is like $11 at Publix, but or your whatever grocery store, and. It's your beers that are aged they're aged in like old whiskey barrels or scotch barrel aged. And they have that hint, that weird, it's crazy how the flavor comes out into it. And it's so delicious.
Yep.
You know, we can do beer segment. I mean, I don't want to step on Tom the Beer Guy's clothes or anything.
Well, I was just going to say, I was thinking of Tom the Beer Guy the other day because I think Downtown is having a, craft beer celebration day or something like that, and I think, you know, when Tom the Beer Guy reads that. By the way, those of you who don't know Tom the Beer Guy, he was at the forefront of the craft beer movement. Even went as far as to brew his own beer and bottle it, and most people know that today as Orange Blossom Pilsner. Yes. But there's so many different ones that he has, though, but the Orange Blossom Brewing Company. But he was there at the beginning and saw, you know, people just like paying little to no attention except for the handful of brew, you know, weekend brew guys. And then to watch it, to see how it's blossomed and orange blossomed. But we're here to talk movies. Let's talk movies a little bit, Chris. What have you seen recently?
I saw Ghostbusters this past weekend. You know, that new ruination of everyone's childhoods, apparently, or as people would have thought, at least on the internet. How it is on the internet.
Well, before you even give us the review on that, I knew that they were doing a remake of this. I didn't know who was behind it, but I thought, big mistake, because that original Ghostbusters was great. It hit on all, for me, hit on all cylinders, came at the right time. Everybody's watching that movie. To remake an already great movie, it could be a very dangerous thing. But then I saw Kristen Wiig was behind it. And so I have faith. Am I right on target with this, or did they make a mess of this?
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I think it's a good movie. And it's weird. I think maybe just because I didn't see Ghostbusters when it first came out, so I wasn't part of that initial Ghostbusters hysteria, which you do have to explain to people. Back in 1984, when Ghostbusters came out, it really was like Ghostbusters pandemonium all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
It was gigantic. It was everywhere. I grew up in a world where Ghostbusters 2 was what was in theaters, and a horrible Ghostbusters cartoon was on TV, and they were selling the toys that came with the GAC, and I was drinking High C, the Slimer Ecto Cooler High C.
Yes.
So for me, Ghostbusters isn't some sort of holy art relic. It's a very good movie. I enjoy it very much, absolutely. But it's also something that's been commodified to death already. So when everyone, you know, you kind of say to yourself, you're like, oh, it's a big mistake because it's such a classic. You're treading sort of like sacred ground. I find that a little laughable because Ghostbusters, the sequel, isn't very good. It's a loose remake of the first one, and no one's, no, it's aside from certain elements, it's not as good. The cartoon was terrible. They cranked out comic books. I mean, they didn't care about the sanctity of this movie. There's a reason why Bill Murray didn't want to go back to it for all these years.
Right.
You know, he's the one who kept the Ghostbusters 3, the official 3, from being made. And then when Harold Ramis got sick in 2010, forget about it. That was off the table for good.
Yeah, all bets are off.
Yeah, so I don't hold the original as such high regards. I enjoyed it very much, but I was totally open for them, new team, remaking it, whatever. And like you said, it is very much about who made it. If it's from the director of, like, Pixels or something, you know, the Adam Sandler movie, then you're in trouble. But it's the guy who did Bridesmaids with Kristen Wiig, and he made Spy with Melissa McCarthy. It's Paul Feig. The guy is good. And his sensibility works well with the Ghostbusters. And the whole cast is good. I enjoy everyone. Wiig is good. McCarthy is good. And Kate McKinnon and Leslie Jones, both currently on SNL, they're both very good in the movie. I enjoyed it very much. It's also not perfect, you know, what movie is. No movie's perfect except for Goodfellas. And it's, you know, it's like, just go see it. Enjoy it. Have fun with it. There really isn't anything that bad. It could have been better, but there's nothing that bad about it at all.
All right, so without giving any scenes away, sure. Of the ensemble of the four women, were there any standout performances? Any Melissa McCarthy steal the show moments?
No, actually, everyone pretty much agrees that Kate McKinnon stole the show.
I was going to say she is great.
Yeah, she's hysterical, and if she gets to do the most with her character, she's allowed to be a big character with lots of jokes and big reactions to stuff. Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig are both actually much more toned down in this movie than you expect the two of them to be.
Right.
They are known for their kind of big characters, and in this movie, they're both totally doing the Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis roles, where they're cracking jokes, but they're more like, here's the science, we're moving the plot along. McKinnon gets to say crazy stuff, and then Leslie Jones gets to say, you know, some funny stuff. Those are the other two get to be the more of the comedic relief, so to speak, of the foursome. It's been the consensus too. Everyone loves McKinnon in the movie, and her character is great. She's a fun character. It's a fun movie. It's a very enjoyable film.
All right.
Nice, breezy summer blockbuster. And for this year, it has been a weak summer for movies, for big studio movies, for Hollywood films. It has been very, very subpar. Hollywood, shame on you. And so in that regard, that helps too. The fact that compared to what's coming out now, this movie is actually quite watchable.
Chris, you know, while you were talking about that, I just started thinking about, you know, the controversy, the furor that was last year's or the last Academy Awards the meaty available parts for people of color. And how is this year in your the way you look at it?
Has it been any better? I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the year it's the percentages are the same in terms of roles. I mean, the numbers are out there for how many roles are played by white actors versus black actors versus Hispanic versus Asian, etc. There has been noticeable movement for Asian actors and actresses, both in TV and in movies. They have been very vocal about it, which they have to do. When people talk about race in America, it's literally a black and white issue, and they forget about the Hispanics and the Asians and the Indians and the Inuits and the Cherokee, you know? I mean,
right.
So there has been some advancement in small areas. There has been publicized a lot of articles about the Academy, how they extend invitations to new members, and how this year they invited many actors and producers and directors who are, quote, of color, because their role sheet at the Academy, it's like 80-something% white, you know, and it's because they keep inviting mostly white people into the Academy. So that's one way that they've been trying to fix it. Right. The system, which is broken.
But as far as movies, do you know of anything?
And it all trickles down to movies. So roles, the visible roles, and from the outset, just thinking about it, no. There has, for the most part, outside of a few more Asian characters, maybe more Asian roles, no, there hasn't been much advancement. I can't think off the top of my head of any like significant Spanish characters in any movies this year that haven't been like Pablo Escobar or drug dealers of some sort. It's still a messed up system, Kurt, and it's going to take years and years for it. It's going to take more than a couple, you know, hashtags to fix it. It's systematically racist, and that extends. Did you know that extends to the cameras themselves?
No.
College radio station. Listen up, kids. You're about to learn something. I know you're here to have fun. I'm about to teach you something. Film is inherently racist. When the cameras were invented, and lenses and film, but all that was invented by the Lumiere brothers in the 1880s, by the French, and simultaneously parallel thinking by Edison in New Jersey in the 1880s and 1890s.
Right.
They developed the technology so as to best capture people with lighter skin tones, because they figured no one would ever want to see black or brown faces on film in any way.
And you said it extends to this day?
To this day, if you watch movies, pay attention. If you watch movies or TV shows, to this day, there are cinematographers out there who cannot light black faces. And that's why black people are underlit in movies all the time, because they're making sure the lighter skinned actors in the scene are looking right, because the cameras, the film, the technology has all been geared to make the lighter skin people look better without any regard for having to light darker skinned people. Because when this technology was invented in the late 1800s, that was the thought process. Why would anyone bother with this?
Right. You know? Yeah, I did not know that.
Yes, there you go. So think about that when you watch, and as a Hispanic person who loves movies, this is very, you know, my inside is always torn up. The racism is killing me on the inside, and I love movies. But remember that when you're watching something, the medium itself is inherently racist in the way it was invented on a practical basis. So it's going to take a long time to fix this, Curtis, to fix this problem that we're talking about here.
Hmm. Yeah, well,
and I might have to include inventing lenses that light black people properly, because cinematographers, professional cinematographers, getting paid lots of money can't do it. It's crazy.
Wow, I had no idea this existed.
Yeah, hey, stay woke, Kurt.
Hey,
let me
ask you this: like, for instance, like Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
When he makes a movie, do you see the same kind of? Or is he aware of it, and he counteracts it with, you know, technicians who know how to light?
For sure. Cinematographers, artists who work with black people, Hispanic people, darker skinned people, hell, Greeks, Arabs, whatever. They understand the lighting, the what needs to be done. Just to make a person look good, to make it so that, you know, so they're not underlit or whatever, they look fine on camera. And yeah, so movies that are like your all black cast, they call them, quote, urban films, because, you know, you're not allowed to say black film or whatever. You can't be overt about your, anyway. They know what they're doing, because that's their medium. That's what they're working with. They're working with equipment that hates them, but they have to make it work for them, as opposed to, like, you know, the people who made Friends.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, good.
Can I also recommend to people check out a book called War Against All Puerto Ricans? It's a great book. Check it out.
War Against All Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, it's a fantastic book. It's amazing. Okay. That's a quote from a U.S. installed police chief on the island in the 30s before they massacred a bunch of people.
Get the book before it becomes a movie.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm going to. Yeah. Yeah. I got a cousin who's working. He's been working on trying to make a movie about that whole, about one particular person, the revolutionary from that from that time period. He's been trying to make a movie on it for a while. He's up in the studios up in Brooklyn. He does a lot of like experimental stuff, and he's working with people he shoots. He's worked with a company that they fly in like classical musicians, like violinists and cellists from all around the world, like world class people. He uses like $3 million violins and stuff, and he's filming them doing like cool performances and things. He's doing all sorts of like crazy fringe stuff that you don't think about as a director.
Wow.
He's trying to make this this film about the PR revolution that got suppressed in the 50s. War to the death against Puerto Ricans. War against Puerto Ricans. Check it out.
I'll check it out. I will. All right, Chris.
And also see Ghostbusters, too.
thanks so much for calling in, brother. Tell folks about your podcast.
Cinema Crespedito. It's about movies and other stuff as well, like racism. You can check it out on iTunes, Stitcher, ChrisCrespo.com is the website. I write reviews and stuff, so I got a review there for Ghostbusters and The Infiltrator. And check out the show this weekend. We're going to have local writer Amy Drew Thompson on. She's been on the show before. She's great, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome. Thanks a lot, guys. Oh, hit me up on Twitter at I Am Chris Crespo.
All right, and we'll look for the Sunday release of that podcast show, too.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks,
yes.
Chris. Thanks for calling in, brother. And we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. There you go, folks. Chris Crespo calling in to the program, chriscrespo.com. If you missed any of the information about his podcast, I really recommend it. ChrisCrespo.com is the hub, if you will, the portal to all things Crespo and cinema. All right. We'll be back in just a little bit. We're going to play a song by a band called Aloha. Aloha. And the name of the song is Signal Drift. My name's Curtis Earth, and this is the Curtis Earth Show.
Signal Drift.